korkun oku trap sonsun. Trap sonsun trap donsun. Түүний сонсдог хөгжим дур булаа. Дадаж дуудан дур булаа мууруулаа.
What's up, people? Brand new MMA Roasted podcast today. We got the legend, the one of the greatest fighters of all time, Ween Dog, is here.
Be here, dude. Thanks for having me.
We have Mayhem Miller, yeah. Pride, Dream, UFC, Strike Force. You fighting Bodog?
Gay Pride.
Bodog.
Hey, no.
No, you never did Bodog?
You just gave me a flashback.
Of?
Bodog.
Well, you were in a lot of things. You're the man, the myth, the legend.
Just call me an MMA icon.
Yes.
Because that's the reality of the situation.
That's true. I'm Adam Hunter. We got a great show. We got Tim Johnson calling in, who just got a huge win, by the way. He knocked out an undefeated Tyrell Fortune, who they were saying was the next heavyweight champion.
Outing him.
And they were like, they threw Tim to the wolves. He was on a 2-fight losing streak. They were like, here you go. And Tim just knocked him out in the first round, which was
very interesting
for him.
Yeah, so totally happy for him.
We got a brand new sponsor, Mayhem Martial Arts.
Really?
Yep, .com. That's the website. Yeah, I'll be sliding you a check here in about 15 minutes.
Well, you could slide it back to yourself.
Nice.
So now, where are you going to post videos and training videos?
Yeah, well, it's just being built out now. It's like fantastic coming together. There's people signing up, and I'm like already booking seminars from it. So it's like taking off. I know. Like I appreciate MMA Roasted. I appreciate all you guys out there. I appreciate the fans telling me I'm a fat bastard. Thank you very much, motivation. Me back in the gym. You see that?
You know what's funny?
Or comment. You know what? I know we're doing something right because now the comments are starting to get negative about me. So I'm like, yeah, we're doing something right.
Someone
because everybody was so positive, so positive. And I knew it wasn't going to last. But then suddenly people are just dredging up the past, calling me fat, saying I look old. I was just like, oh. Good. My self-esteem was getting a little too high. I appreciate the haters coming out.
You look like a better in shape Ben Rothwell. That's what somebody said.
What, compliment. This beard is not doing me any favors. I really think that I'm looking a little old. Maybe hey, I look at you, baby face.
You've had a long life though, man.
Are you ready to put me out to pasture?
No, I'm just saying that you 38?
Fucking like more like 32.
But you've lived like the life.
I've lived like six lifetimes on top of it. So sometimes I get bummed out, like, but then I go, you know what, bro, it's been a good one.
It's funny because you were reading those comments and I was like, shit, because I read some of those comments.
No, I had to like jump in and jump out, but what were we gonna
but say? I would never call you fat, like, or like out
not
of shape
to my face.
No, I mean, I wouldn't anyway. First of all, you're not fat, but I've seen you in a lot better shape. Let's just say
this is Coach Mayhem. Okay, Coach Mayhem right now, he's okay. He can eat, you know. I eat a hamburger at least once a week. Okay,
well, the first time when you were in my backyard training kids and you took off your shirt.
Look, you posted an Instagram video that made me glad that I don't have access to my Instagram. Because when I saw me turn around, oh my goodness, bro.
But I was like,
tall
and skinny and jacked. But then I'm like, well, you were a year and a half in jail.
Sitting in a box. Not in
a
better box studios, in a box.
Probably, and you weren't getting, I mean, you were training.
Listen. All push up, pull up, sit up.
And what kind of food were you eating?
Oh my God. Fat boy, like all they do is a bologna sandwich. You know, I'm trying to stay away.
No, but how much, but that's fucked up. I mean, first of all, they know how important nutrition is.
Oh, okay. So which politician is going to make their platform feed the criminals? I don't think it's going
to
happen.
But how much more money would it cost them to give you guys healthy food?
Nothing. It would actually probably be cheaper.
So then what's...
It's the most efficient system I ever seen. Like, they can pump out, like, 20,000 bologna sandwiches a day. I mean, how much harder would it be to chop up some apples and, you know what I mean, grilled chicken?
So
I don't know. I don't know.
But that actually motivated you to work out a little bit?
A little bit, yeah. You know what? Because I can't, you know, I got to tell the truth. Yeah, I'm heavy. I'm happy. You know,
you're
my dad called me out.
250?
No, not that. Come on, bud.
What's crazy is
I'm not made of lead.
Well, here's
about
what happened.
215.
Here's what happened. Here's what it was like. sometimes you'll say things that'll stick with me for a couple days. So there was a fight in, we were watching Polaris at my house.
Yeah.
I was showing you the 5-on-5 jiu-jitsu. And there was one fight, I forgot the guy's name.
You're talking about the jiu-jitsu matches that we were watching at your house?
And there was a guy, a Brazilian guy, who looked like he hadn't trained in 3-4 years. But he was like a third or fourth degree black belt.
No, the guy's a fantastic.
Fredson Paxau, I think his name is. He was a fighter in Strikeforce, great fighter. But it looks like he just got off the couch.
Ooh.
Right? I mean, ooh. I'm not putting him down.
What did I say?
Well, he was fighting a guy, Craig Jones.
Just ripped.
That looked like he...
a white Adonis. Like
he hadn't left the gym, right?
Beast, sexy man. Yeah.
So I'm like, Mayhem, man, you should do this, man. You should get into this thing. I can make a phone call. We can get people with the fans. And you're like, yeah, but I think I'm closer to that guy right now than to that guy.
Yeah, I'm closer to this Brazilian librarian than I am to that monster beast. Yeah. Yeah, you know, I mean, the reality is that, like, what? If I train for 6 weeks, I'm in shape. I, like, look sexy. But, you know, I realize what this period of simple activity, you know what I mean?
So are you starting to train?
Yeah, yeah. So
you say but, like, what do you mean, yeah, yeah?
I mean, I haven't kicked it up into next level. I'm still Coach Mayhem. I got, like, 6 guys to look after. So being Coach Mayhem, and I picked up a new guy. A new student this past week, LAPD officer.
Nice.
I got a question.
Yeah.
If you take a long time just like off of like jiu-jitsu, can you get demoted? Yeah. I feel like I'm a blue belt, but I haven't trained in like a year. I feel like I'm a negative white belt now.
Only like a second degree black belt can demote you.
Okay.
And I'm a second degree black belt, so you're now a white belt. I'm sorry.
I deserve it, dude. I deserve it 100%.
You haven't been back training.
Well, I was at a point at 10th Planet where every week I'd have these crazy pinched nerves in my back because I'm a guard player. I like to throw up triangles a lot. So I just took some time off and I haven't been back since, but I'm getting ready to go back pretty soon. I'm just worried about my back, you know, because that's my biggest problem with me.
Well, I can show you some exercises to like kind of like strengthen that.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? It's kind of rehabilitation if you have a constant injury like that.
Yeah.
And really what you need to do is strengthen those muscles outside the jiu-jitsu room in order that you don't get that injury. Usually, like, you can fix any type of, like, reoccurring injury by, like, focused. And it's not, like, hard-ass weightlifting. It's, like, these little tiny things to not aggravate your back. Like, you have to do lightweight, low rep, and strengthen the entirety of the muscle. That way you don't keep getting that pinched nerve. When does the injury occur?
During rolling.
No, I know, sparring. But and what, can you remember what specific instance?
It's always whenever I'm on the bottom, on the ground, yeah.
But you pull guard.
I pull guard. I normally have people on top of me, and it sucks. I have to tap out or just tell them to stop because I can't do anything.
Is it when they're trying to pass so that your legs are up or when you're doing a high guard or...
I'd say it's a lot of it is when they're in like in side control and I'm doing like these weird like twisting motions.
Out.
Yeah, like shrimping motions. It's a lot of that. But
we can probably focus on this after.
Sorry. I don't know why Dr. Mayhem just put on his lab coat.
But maybe you could put videos like that on your website.
Yeah. There's going to be a whole, I'm focusing on some jiu-jitsu videos first. I'm going to start showing some technique.
Any Joshua Fabian parody videos?
Or collabs?
What the hell is that?
Listen, Diego's coach?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, I forgot that's his name.
By the way, Diego hit me up.
I'm going to get a tattoo of that guy on my chest, I think.
Diego hit me up, actually, to post that the guy did one of those, like, punching machines and
The machine exploded?
And broke it.
Wow.
Yeah, like, he used his mind to break the machine.
Are you sure you didn't just have Diego go and plug it really quick after he punched it?
I don't know what happened, but Diego seriously was like, can you please post this? And I was like, Diego, whatever you need.
Did you?
Of course I did.
Nice.
Diego's my
man. I would have retweeted that.
Of course. I mean, whatever Diego wants me to do, I'm going to do for Diego.
Nice.
Yeah. But I had a show last night at a strip club.
How's your wife feel about you hanging out in the strip club?
I don't hang out all the time.
All the time. Like 9 out of 10 of your stories on this show are you at a strip club bunch of dudes.
This is
finger blasting your butt. No, no, wait, that's him.
That's
sorry.
Him.
Complete bullshit.
I got confused.
This guy hit me up on Facebook. Hey, want to do my show in Palmdale?
Is a comedian.
A comedian.
All right.
Paid some decent money. So I was like for like a Monday. So I drive out there, and then it's a bikini bar.
Nice.
So it's not like a strip.
Oh, that's classier.
So I go on stage, and I gotta say, like. People were making it rain on me while
I was on
stage.
Were you on the main stage?
Yeah, I was on the main stage. The girls weren't even dancing. They weren't even there. I hadn't started yet. The girls were not even there. But I'm on stage, and it's just like, they were a small crowd, but they were loud and going crazy. And then while I'm on stage, someone's like, I like that joke, and throws money at me, right? Dollar bills. And at first, I'm like, I'm not picking up these. I'm not going to pick up dollar bills. I'm not doing that. This is not, I got pride. I'm not doing that. I look down, I see 100 and a couple 20s. I was like, damn fucking right. I'm like, I think I made more money fucking getting tipped than I did on the actual show. So, and it reminded me of like one of my best sets ever was at a strip club like 12 years ago in Arizona. And I tell comics all the time, people are like, am I going to make money at comedy? I'm like, first couple years, you will not make any money, but you'll get paid in pussy. And when I say that, and I say that in the nicest way possible, you will get women that you'll never get.
Yeah.
In real life, because you're on stage, people are focused on you. You'll never get these girls' attention in real life. It's a powerful thing. It's sexy as a fighter. Did you get that?
Oh yeah. I mean, you know, there's a weird like that. I mean, if I remember correctly, the more aggressive of the species was the gay dudes. They really were into it.
Really?
Yes. They're like, oh my god, I saw you in your Speedos. And you just and you choke the guy unconscious. Oh my god!
And then
what did you say? In Vegas, a guy would walk up to me like, "Hey, Mayhem," and I was like, "Hey, what's up, bro? Look like a big like Mexican bro. Hey, let me suck your dick." And I was like, "Wah!" I was like, "No."
Yeah. Did you laugh?
Yeah, I laughed. It was LOL. I'm not a homophobe, but I'm not into that.
But it's uncomfortable though. Like, I'm
definitely. Yeah. Why? And like walking in public with this out loud to say that. And you're right. I mean, it's anytime you're elevated on a platform, right?
But like, gay guys can do that.
Sexuality.
Like, if you up to a girl,
but
you were
women
like,
women too do
but
that.
If you were like, hey, let me eat your pussy, like you get slapped or fucking
Harvey
thrown.
Weinstein.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fuck
but
that.
But girls were now.
Girls too. Yeah. Girls are more low key about it. They won't come right up in your face like that. I mean, I'm sure you know from back in the day.
But the thing is that when you had you had a lot of these Asian women, right? So
you always mentioned
no, but
that,
they're like notoriously not aggressive.
Oh, yeah.
So how did you seal the deal?
They're look, all women are aggressive, but they do it in like this jungle tiger way, like they're crawling through the hot tall.
The Asian girls do?
All of them, every kind of woman. Okay, women are like this. Like men, we're like silverbacks. We just go after what we want. You know what I mean? We shake the tree, coconuts fall down. Suddenly, you're a happy man, right? Women are like tigers in the bush. Mm-hmm. They're just hiding. They're hunting, right? They snip. Maybe they'll flip their tail a little bit and get you like, wait, what's that over there? And while you're looking at their tail, kablam!
It's kind of true.
Right?
Now, you told me at my house that one of the worst moments of your life was when you fucked up a tensum.
Well, no, I had a tensum one time. Okay. But another time.
Wait, how did you have a tensum?
The key is to have like a crazy girlfriend that's into that.
Yeah.
Ten? Like, how do you get 10 girls to just, I mean, how do you even like.
Look, man.
I've had three, and I have ADHD, but 10?
The MySpace terms of service were a lot different back then. You could really market yourself a lot, better than Facebook.
Well, what did you line them all up?
Yeah, no, stack them, you know, about yay high.
Really?
Yeah, the smell, man.
Wait, hold on. So you had 10?
First thing comes to my mind.
Is it 10 Asian girls?
Nah, you know, assorted like a Voltron flavors of whatnot. Yeah, they all formed up, you know what I mean? I pretty much only made out with the head. You know?
Let's go back to the smell. Can you describe that?
Yeah.
What was the smell like?
It was just
like?
Potpourri, you know,
of different assorted
flavors.
So you're making out with one. Are they making out with each other?
Oh, yeah. It was a wild one.
So it was bisexual girls.
It was a little bit. It was definitely one of the most pornographic things that ever happened to me. And, you know, looking back at it
would you again?
Wipe a little tear in my eye, but I'm all right.
How many nuts did you bust?
It's too complicated. All of them? Yeah. Like, every one that I had? Yeah.
You must have came, three, four times? Like, you kept going?
Like, I mean, I almost hit a personal best of eight, which that's...
No.
Yes.
Eight?
Look, man, I'm
does that mean two girls were unfulfilled? Because that tensum,
I know.
You're still going to let down. Really?
Yeah, I mean, and the last couple were like... You know what I mean? Busting dust.
What
you know?
Stimulants were going on in that
I
room?
Mean, mostly just my erotic scent.
Now, this was your Strikeforce days or UFC days?
Yeah,
or...
around that, yeah. And you know, it was just, I don't know. It's funny to think back on that.
Did Uncle Creepy walk in jerking off?
Yeah, I wish. I should have. If I had his number, he would have. You know, hey, we got to have him back on the show, by the way. Like, I there's so many unresolved questions. After we left the show and people were, like, tweeting and texting about it and whatnot, I was like, man, I really didn't take advantage of the moment that we had him on where I could just ask.
Well, he's under the table right now.
Yeah, oh, there he is.
So,
wait, stop jerking off, baby.
Yeah. So it reminds me, though, so I did a show one time in Arizona, and it was actually at a strip club, and it was the only time I got an encore.
Count them down.
No, this was the
count
first story.
Down.
This is the first story.
This is the
I just interrupted it.
My bad.
Pussy.
Okay,
no,
okay.
I like the interruptions. So so it was one of those things where it went so well they wanted an encore, which is like, as a stand-up comic, bands want encores. Because you save your big hit.
Yeah.
As a comic, you did all your stuff, and then you're just going to let everyone down. Mm. So, which is what happened. But
it was kind of like my tensum.
But I went out there, and then there was like Miss Nude World was there. She was one of the dancers, which I later found out there were a lot of Miss Nude Worlds. It's not like one.
Oh, you mean it's not the ultimate pentultimate champ?
It's kind of like being a Muay Thai champion or something. Oh, there's just lots of different worlds.
She just had like a little belt that would fit these in.
It wasn't the whole world. It was more like, you know, Disney World. Anyway, so it was one of those things. So then she ended up bringing me on stage and pouring like wax on me.
What?
Yeah, like, but it wasn't like the stripper
like
wax. Yeah, but it doesn't hurt. It didn't hurt.
Oh, it's like sex wax.
It's sex wax.
All right.
Wait, you use sex wax?
I actually had to Google this because I was going to use my candle as like wax, as like a kink.
Yeah, I've done it.
But I've read that you can't just do it with any candle.
No.
Wait, you've done that? Wait, what happened?
What happened
with you?
Blistering?
Yeah.
All right.
There's actual sex candles you have to buy.
Yeah, you got to get the like low burning point different strategy. Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of science involved.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So then I ended up like going home with her and like.
She poured it on your junk?
Yeah, on my junk.
Whoa.
And then I got the bartender's number.
Wait, were you butt naked on the stage?
No, like my boxers, she went like this because everyone's like, bring him on, the comic. She was like, I need a volunteer. And everyone volunteered me.
Nice.
And I'm always like, well, I can't let the people down, you know?
A lot of mistakes been made using that logic.
So then I ended up going home with her, and like, you ever do anal by accident? Like you're hitting a doggy style, and you shift out and go back in, and then you're in the no. Well, that happened with me. So.
My bad. I thought you like.
No, you ever like doing doggy style with the girl?
I thought you dropped the ketchup bottle and slipped on the kitchen floor.
No.
Oh, my mistake.
No, you ever like what? Oh, no, yeah, no, that anal by accident? Okay, now I'm on you. All right, so you ever like, you're hitting a doggy style, then you pull out, sort of, and you try to put it back in, and then you get the butthole.
Been there,
you've done that?
Come on, standard.
Standard?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying, if you're vigorously, you know what I mean? You got to be very sensitive to your partner's needs, bro.
Right.
You can't be just throwing around that fuck stick wall willy-nilly. You know what I'm saying?
So that's
can't
what
be
happened.
Swinging that dick too hard.
And then I ended up... getting the bartender's number, who was the hottest one there. A lot of times at strip clubs, the bartender's the hottest one.
I mean, but did she have any accolades, like the world champ?
No, she wasn't a world champion, but okay. I went back to see her again, and then actually, like, I hadn't hooked up in a while, and then she, like, went down on me, and I came in, like, 8 seconds, and she was like, when was the last time you got laid? Like, that's not what you want to hear after you nut.
Yeah,
and then,
yesterday with the candle wax?
So then I ended up driving home, and I got 3 tickets in the home, and I still didn't care, because it was like, I was still on that high.
Did you see the video of the stripper who fell off the top of a 50-foot tall?
Yeah, now like, she's like stripper. Famous.
She like broke her jaw and then she continued to twerk and
that's a dedicated
set.
Stripper.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a dedicated chick,
you know,
right there.
The show must go on.
The show must go on, dude.
So anyway, by the way, speaking of internet things before we get to our guest, what do you think of that bully? The kid who got bullied?
I just saw like I couldn't watch it like the just a 20-second video.
I can't
of it.
Watch it either.
Yeah, like I didn't understand exactly what happened.
So, all right. So there was a
recap because a lot of people haven't seen it.
A 9-year-old kid who has some type of dwarfism.
Yeah.
I mean, his head is pretty large. I can understand.
So he was like crying and saying the kids were bullying him and he wanted to kill himself. And it was really so he made this video and Brad Williams, a comic who has the same thing, he saw it and was like, oh, we're going to raise money for you to go to Disney World. So he reposted it, then Hugh Jackman reposted it, and all of a sudden the kid raised $600,000, right?
What the fuck does this kid need?
No, so then it came out that the kid has some pictures of him, like, giving people the middle finger. There's one of him saying the N-word. There was one of him, like, there was, like, someone, the parent that went to the school said he's the one that starts all the trouble.
So he canceled the dwarf?
So then people were saying he was 19 years old, right?
Even better.
That he finessed everybody. So then it turned out he wasn't 19 years old. He really is 9. There was a big debate on whether he was 19 years old or not. So he really is 9, but he does have money. But there was all these pictures of him wearing, like, Supreme and, like, running.
Well, I know he's balling out of control.
Yeah.
He'd be at the strip club doing your job.
But there's a lot of problems here. Number one, our bullying is terrible. He shouldn't be getting bullied, all right? The parents should be on that.
But teachers. Is it 600 grand terrible? I've been bullied my whole life, and nobody just hands me over 600.
You had a show. You were giving people $1,000 for beating up bullies. Yeah, so, but also, why are we throwing money at him? Like, how
That's
is
a
that?
Strange solution.
How is that going to fix anything?
It's to make us feel better for his problems,
exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like, he's getting bullied. Well, here's $35,000 to go to Disneyland. So why do you need that much money for Disneyland?
Listen, bro, have you seen how much the freaking Star Wars gear cost?
Yeah.
It's expensive.
So then somebody wrote, like, a really funny thing. I posted it on my Instagram. If we could put up my Twitter page, MMA Roasted, and or my Instagram, Adam Comedian. This guy goes, yo, this black guy goes, hey, man, my little cousin, Man-Man's getting bullied, y'all. Hit up the Cash App. And the kid's like, obviously, like, 30
Venmo me. Yeah. Venmo me for this, my short cousin. Yeah, I get it. Yeah. Pretty clever.
I thought that was really
funny.
But
I don't even understand. So is that kid getting all the money? I don't even understand.
He's getting 600 grand.
I mean.
Unbelievable.
Listen, you know what, though?
Would you
trade 600 Gs to be 4 foot?
No, but I just think that we're like, that's a very American problem of, like, my kid has problems, here's money.
Yeah.
And coming from somebody who had a lot of issues growing up, and I'm sure you could relate,
Yeah.
Money does not fix problems. It may help with, like, certain therapy or cost of medication, but it doesn't fix problems. Your problems are still going to be there, whether you have
so
600 grand,
I got it.
Whether you have no money. Yeah.
Take the 600 grand, right? $250,000 research and development, and then the other $250,000, 100 he could just keep and play with.
Yeah.
But the other 250, we build this kid a robot suit.
Yeah.
Okay, next level Pinky in the Brain type, you know, tuxedo big man, right?
Yeah.
Then he can jump around and just have fun. Nobody can bully him because he's just Cybertronic. Punch him in the fucking face.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the one way to do it. Or give him jujitsu lessons. Have him take Mayhem Miller's. I mean, that would help him more than anything. I'm telling you, like. As a wrestling coach, and I said over and over again, there's not one kid that ever went through the season that was like, man, I wish I had not done that.
Yeah.
Every kid, like, that's combat sports, not the answer to the world's problems, but if everyone wrestled or did jiu-jitsu or boxing, the world would be a lot better.
What's the best martial arts for a dwarf, though?
Wrestling, probably. He's going to wrestle other dwarfs. He'll probably kill it in the 103-pound weight division or whatever.
You just sold the TV pilot right there, my friend.
I'm so, like, that's the best weight class. Brad Williams wrestled.
I would definitely watch Brad Williams versus this other kid.
Yeah.
Like, on pay-per-view, $9.99 on mayhemmartialarts.com. Okay. We're just going to put $9.99 dwarf wrestle. I know a dwarf that will whoop Brad Williams' ass, man.
Really?
He was whooping regular dudes. He might whoop your ass.
Oh, for sure.
He's a purple belt.
100%.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. He's pretty good.
Well, a lot of times when you go up against someone with a handicap, you end
whoa,
up.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
You end what up with it, a handicap.
Oh, really?
Well, we're going to take that out of the podcast.
People that fight Nick Newell, who has one arm.
Yeah.
It's hard sometimes because he's choking you and you're used to fighting.
But that guy's a beast anyway.
Or that guy, Anthony Robles, who had one leg.
Yeah.
People were going for singles on him switches and they're not. Like,
you got no leg.
It's a lot harder to go
up against. Plus, you got to think about it. He's in a weight class up. Baxter Humby, the one-arm bandit, this dude was an awesome Muay Thai guy, but he was bigger than everybody because he was missing 25% of his body.
Yeah, same thing with Robles. Yeah. Robles, they said, would have been about 190,
yeah.
But he was at 135. Remember that one kid, Kyle Maynard?
Oh, he's great.
He had no legs, no arms, and he wanted to compete in MMA.
Yeah, no, he's a beast, but at the same time, I'd be a little worried about sanctioning that, you know what I mean?
Well, they did it. He had a fight.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
But you weren't allowed to kick him.
Obviously.
Because you can't.
Well, he's already down.
Well, you can't boot peek him out of the octagon like yeah. a field goal or something.
Like, just guillotine him and it's over.
You could like catch seconds. Him in the crowd. Anyway, let's talk about a guy. Let's talk to a guy, Tim Johnson.
Yeah.
I am so happy. Then we're going to talk about the boxing match that went on.
Bruh.
Chael Sonnen had tag team BJJ over the weekend.
How did that do? Was it exciting? No, it was not.
Well, because Vinny Magalhães and his partner figured out a way to win without actually having to fight.
Perfect.
And then it was in Portland, and he's like, "Your city sucks." He goes, "You guys are ruled by Antifa, you freaking losers!" Like,
Who said that? Vinny.
Vinny's partner.
Be nice.
Yeah, I think it was. Anyway, Tim Johnson, how are you, man?
Yeah, doing good. Doing good. How about you all?
Can we not? We can't hear him.
A little bit of
hello?
Technical difficulty. Just
there,
a moment.
There you are.
Tim, how's it going, man?
It's doing good. Going good. How about y'all?
Now I'm so used to having that creepy pedophile mustache, but the beard. Why'd you go for the whole beard?
You know, I did all kinds of different facial hairs. You know, I've done like goatees, handlebars, straight. You know. Brush mustache, and I've never done growing a beard, so I figured I might be joining the military again here within next year or so. So I might as well grow it out while I can.
Wait. Why? Because we're gonna go to war with Iran, and you're gonna join up.
He was in the army.
He's a patriot.
Yeah, I hear you. Why are you re-ing up?
I don't know, because I was always planning to go back. I just took a little break for a little bit. I did 10 years. Now I want to go back and get my other 10 and get my benefits.
Hell yeah. Yeah, God bless you, man. Thank you for your service. We appreciate
thank
it.
You.
Thank you very much.
I got to ask you about that. So you went to high school in Nebraska, right?
Minnesota.
Minnesota. Grew Minnesota, Minnesota. Then you went to the Army right after high school?
Nope. I joined the Army after my stint in JUCO. So I was like 20 when I joined.
20. And then you went to the Army. Then you went back to college after the Army?
Yeah, then I went back. So I was in the National Guard, Minnesota National Guard. So I went back to college. Let me see. I was a freshman at university when I was 21.
Wow. No, but then after you did the Army, did you go back after the Army? Were you like a 32-year-old sophomore?
I kept going to school because I kept changing my dang major. So I finally graduated like 2 years ago.
Wow.
Nice.
That's awesome.
Way to go, man.
Now, I was so proud of you, man, because I've known you for years. I've known you back when you were an Uber driver and you were working at a strip club in Omaha.
Yeah.
Fargo.
Up in Fargo.
Fargo, North Dakota. Right. And then you moved to Vegas. And I was worried because you said the one fight you lost was when you actually were a full-time fighter. You were better off being a part-time fighter. But then what made you move to Vegas and become a full-time fighter?
Fargo was doing good for me. It was just, I ran out of bodies. You know, big guys are hard to come by. And my group of heavyweights I had that they're training with, they just kind of, you know, moved on, went and did other things. And when I was starting to, my main training partner was a 185-pounder, was starting to be like, all right, well, I got to look for something else.
Yeah.
Well, tell us about your training camp now. You know, what do you have over there in Vegas for you?
I'm out here and came out here, you know, because I've been coming out here for a bunch of years. Before I moved out here, I was coming out here during my fight camps periodically out at Extreme Couture here. And when I finally made the move, it's a heavyweight carousel out here, man. Just like 7-8 heavyweights every day are in there. And whatever, you know, pick your poison. Each has their own, something that they're best at. So, you know, if you want to work on somebody who can kick you in the head, well, we got that. Someone who's going to knock you out in one punch, we definitely have that. You know, we got grapplers, we got everything. It's kind of a nice variety of different bodies that are in here.
Who would you say is your primary training partner? Like, well, you know, who really ups your game?
Right now, probably this camp, it was probably Francimar. He was there quite a bit. Chris Thompson. Towards the end of my camp, about midway through the camp, Francis made his way back here. So getting some rounds in with Francis definitely ups your, confidence level.
By the way, when he says Francis, he's talking about Ngannou, who's the number two heavyweight in the world. I mean, were you taking you guys sparring? How bad were your headaches? How are you doing against him? What's that like?
He hits hard. He hits like a Mack truck, even like training. And he's probably the strongest human being I've ever freaking grappled with. It's crazy. Now he's starting to get he's really starting to get wrestling figured out. So he's even more dangerous. So that used to be like my only thing that I could you know, maybe I could wrestle him to the ground and then I'm good to go. But now, like, again, he's got good takedown defense now. So that's kind of, so now I just kind of take my beatings and get my shots in when I can.
Now, would you say that your success, like, I mean, undoubtedly has to do with him, you know, iron sharpens iron. But apart from him, what about your coaches? Like, what do you work on? What did you work on for this last fight that, like, you know, translated to the success?
This fight, when we were watching film or, you know, watching tape, I guess, I don't know what you want to call it nowadays. I'm an old guy. we saw that, you know, no one's really, in all of Tyrell's fights, no one's really pushed him backwards. He's always been the one that kind of pushing forward. But when the few times he has pushed backwards, he goes straight back and, like, put his hands down. He wasn't very good at fighting backwards. So I wanted to maintain the center of the cage and make sure that I was applying pressure the whole fight and ended up working out.
I was so happy because I was really worried about you in this fight. I'm not going to lie. Because you've been knocked out twice in the last two fights. And I was like, oh, no, they're making a... They're making an example out of you. They're making you into a stepping stone. I was like, no, no, no. But then when I saw you come out there, there was a fire that hasn't been in there the last two fights. Like, you wanted it.
That's a shame. You're 100% on that one. I definitely had a chip on my shoulder for this fight. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out that I was being utilized as a stepping stone. And I was not going to let that happen.
No, and they were like, I remember when they were, even during the fight, they were like, Tyrell Fortune is the future, not just in Bellator, but in all of MMA. And they weren't even talking about you. They were like, and this fucking weird guy with the beard is going to get the shit beaten out of him in 3 seconds. And you went out there and, I mean, you knocked him out. I've never seen you so happy. That was the happiest. And I know you and your girlfriend, by the way. How happy was she?
She was pretty happy. She broke her ankle a while back, had ankle surgery, and she's like, I think I might have rebroke it from jumping up and down.
He's got the sweetest, hottest little blonde girlfriend, and he's like this, like, it's almost like the bad guy in Popeye. Like, he's like this
Bluto.
He's this guy that, like, I don't know how you, and she's like the sweetest thing. Are you working at the strip clubs in Vegas, by the way?
No, I haven't been. Hopefully I don't have to be. I don't like long layoffs, but I do like staying busy. So in between fights, I go back to the Midwest and go work some agricultural stuff.
Really?
Yeah. Last fall, I went back, worked a couple weeks. And depending if I have a fight coming up, probably be working this spring.
But can you please expand on this? What kind of agriculture
stuff? Are you growing soybeans or what?
Soybeans, corn. I applicate fertilizer in the field.
Yeah, I'm pretty clever.
Wow. This guy's a man's man.
I know. Yeah. This dude is, definitely. If there was somebody that I would want to dig a ditch with, it'd be this guy.
So no more Uber driving too?
No more Uber driving. Although when I first moved out here, I did do Uber Eats. So I tried to bump up in the world, but it didn't work out.
Now, look, man, tell the truth, because I know a few times I got my Uber Eats order and, like, fries are missing. The motherfucker drank my damn soda. Have you done that?
Yes.
So stupid.
No, I haven't done that. But I do know that you definitely want to order from places that put, like, little stickers, or they, like, seal the shit up so you can tell if the seal's been broken. Yeah. Like, you gotta make sure you order from them places, because I know for a fact that people do that as well.
And I know for a fact that half my milkshake was gone. Pretty pissed.
Now the Congo fight, that was the first fight that how hard did he hit you?
Honestly, that one, that was weird. I went in for, like, when I remembered that, because I was still in there. Like, I wasn't out for that at all. It just kind of, like, fell over. I don't know. It was because I was in on a single leg, and it was just kind of this little looping, this little uppercut jab thing that he hit me with on a single leg, and I just kind of fell over, and then that was that. I don't know. You know, it wasn't really a hard shot. It was kind of weird.
And then your next fight, were you worried? You got knocked out in the first round, which was weird because you went in to fight someone else and they switched it on you. And then you're fighting a Russian champion. But were you worried about were you doubting your own chin at all? Were you started to think, oh shit, maybe I can't take a shot?
Probably to a little bit, because you know the way I fight is I let people get tired by punching me in my face. That's kind of how I've always fought.
Good and, strategy. Got me some championships.
It's a great strategy until you know your brain gives out. But but you know it's in the back of your mind. But like I said, in practice, you know, I'm hanging with these guys. I'm eating just as hard shots as I would be in a fight, and you know, I'm recovering just fine. So from that aspect, I was like, no, I'm good to go yet.
Good, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, if you're taking Ngannou's punches, you got to be like, fuck, I can take anyone's punches. Also, how hard does Roy Nelson hit?
You got to really watch that overhand still. But now he catches me with he's got a pretty brutal uppercut that he doesn't. I think I did keep telling him he's got to use a little more often.
Does he ever mess with your training habits? Because like I know he built a gym in his kitchen, and it seems like he's late a lot to practice. And but
wait,
like,
are you joking or is that a serious thing?
No, he did.
Thing?
He built a gym. Right? Ask him. Is there a gym in his kitchen? Right?
Yeah. He does. He's got a little gym there.
Wow. Perfect.
No. I'm not joking. There's a gym.
I believe
kitchen.
You. Now. No.
But is it hard? Because Roy Nelson seemed like the kind of guy that would like not study and get an A on the test. He seems like the kind of guy. Like, is it hard to sometimes not fall into his patterns of training?
No. As a teammate, I guess, a training partner. We've been lucky enough that we've had fights on opposite schedules. So anything that I need, like he'll work in my opponent type stuff and vice versa with me for him.
Awesome.
So, you know, it's always, I think that's kind of a lot of people in our gym too. It's kind of, even when I'm like in this fight camp, I'm trying to do something with one of my guys, but since I fight sooner, they're like, no, man, let's work on your stuff. I'm like, okay.
Oh, good. No, I'm so happy for you, man. Cause you're genuinely, he was 5-2 in the UFC. They cut him after a win. I was like, what the fuck?
They probably didn't like that fucking mustache.
This guy's an army veteran. He was ranked number 12 in the world and driving for Uber. I was like, you would never find a guy on the Lakers, the worst guy on the Lakers, who never gets any fucking thing, is making millions and millions of dollars. and it would really piss me off because I'm like, Tim Johnson's an American fucking hero and needs to be praised more.
Well, call your congressman.
I will. So I'm so happy. And also, I'm so happy because it finally, like, I feel like you finally got your just due. And I don't want you to be, you know, complacent.
Don't get cocky.
No, I'm not even complacent. I'm going to the gym today. I'm ready. Nice. I'm going to be ready to go.
But I'm so happy. And that was like the best you fought. Like, I was like, holy shit.
Awesome.
You went out there.
Yeah, apparently, I just figured out on Saturday, apparently, to get a knockout, you have to throw punches. So now I'm like, all right, so I'll just throw punches more. Okay.
Brilliant. Hey, what was your MOS? Military intelligence?
combat engineer, we blow stuff up.
Hell yeah. Oh my god,
what were the odds against you for that fight?
He was a negative 900 and I was a positive 6.
Wow,
hell yeah.
Nine can you believe that?
9-1, baby.
9-1.
Yeah,
well, way to go, bro. We're big fans. We love it, man.
Now, are you gonna marry that girl? When do you get married to that girl?
That I am.
When are you gonna marry her? When?
They'll probably be this summer.
Oh, good, because you guys are such a cute couple. Like,
this guy's a freaking old Yenta.
No, he comes to my shows and I just fuck with him all the time.
Nice.
I'm gonna be in Vegas next week. You in Vegas next week?
I'm in Vegas next week.
I got shows at the Strat from Monday to Sunday. I'd love to see you.
Awesome, absolutely, I'll be there.
Thank you, Tim. I appreciate it, man. Keep up the good work.
Yep, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you. All right, that was Tim Johnson.
Hell yeah, that guy's great. Just keep coming with the hits, Adam. Way to go, booking the show.
9-1.
9-1 underdog just crushes the dude. Are you freaking joking? Is it that time?
Were you ever a 9-1 underdog?
Nah. They always thought I was going to win, and then I had some. A lot of times I was the 9-1 overdog and lost.
Against who?
Trigg. Hey,
he was an underrated fighter.
You know what? And I saw that you're going to ask about, you know, let's talk about the boxing fight, and I'll work that in.
Well, I want to ask you, Mayhem Miller entrance on YouTube.
What?
I got to ask you about this
one. I got so many entrances.
I know, but this one's one of my favorite. The one where Gus Johnson said you almost got knocked out by the girl.
Oh, yeah.
Mayhem Miller entrance. There's like two of them. There's two major ones. You come out as like a priest.
Yeah, yeah.
No.
An angel.
I didn't see
an
that angel.
Is that what it was?
Sort of.
Couldn't you just tell
Listen,
me?
Listen, all of them were like meant to, all my entrances were kind of meant to be separate art pieces.
Right.
You know what I mean? I as part of the whole thing was an art piece, but there was one part, the entrance part, I viewed as like kind of a, like I'm telling a story.
All right. So tell me about this story. Cause I'm genuinely kind of intrigued, but confused by this. So
well, that was the point. That was
Miller,
the whole point.
I think it's probably Strikeforce entrance. Cause there's two of them. The one that always comes up is the one with the Japanese girls who were underage.
Classic.
Classic.
Which I feel
underage.
Weird even like, even.
Yeah. It's been like being a father of a daughter. Like,
well, I
just
feel like weird
years.
Like posting that. Cause I'm like posting, knowing that I wish I didn't know.
No, but the thing is
but,
yeah, that there was nothing.
About,
yeah, it was totally.
It.
Yeah, it was nothing sexual, but it is a kind of a funny backstory that, you know, I, in my head was like, yeah, sexy Japanese. And then the Japanese people were like, no, no, we'll just give them regular, actual schoolgirls. Yeah. You know what I mean? I was like, oh, okay.
You
well,
said your corner was checking them out?
Oh, everybody was, yeah.
Who was your corner?
King Mo. I know. King Mo was up in their face.
Well, sometimes also with Asian, name, with Asian women, I hate to say it, but sometimes it's hard to know if they're like 17 or 40.
Bro, listen, I never thought I would be racist until this Chinese lady sneezed on my neck at CVS.
Recently?
Bro. Bro.
With the coronavirus?
Bro. I know. And then I like felt a little racist.
Really?
You know what I mean? But also, sneezing in somebody's direction.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Is really
I was
not.
Supposed to go to China next week to
Come
Wuhan.
On. No.
I've been there before.
Let's send you, bro.
I've been to Wuhan. They gave me a smoke machine. They didn't really understand. They were like, well, no, I'm a stand-up comic. And they don't, it's not even called.
It's called comedy. American Funny
American
Talk?
Talk Show.
Talk Show.
It's American Your Talking Show, right? Then they're like, oh, you, they were like a band or something. I'm like, no, no, a comic. So then they give us, they're like, we have to give you a smoke machine.
Who
like,
booked you? I don't understand how you keep getting in these adventures. You're either at a strip club or at like an Asian meat market with damn bats and naked chickens.
Dude, I go out there. I'm like, hey, nice to be here. Smoke everywhere.
Yeah,
like,
and
like,
nobody speaks English.
No one speaks English.
Really?
I swear to God.
Whoa, you're just making shit up.
I have the video. It's on my Instagram somewhere. I'll send it to you. And I'm like, I can't fucking breathe. I'm like, as if the air is not bad enough in this country. Now there's a fucking smoke machine.
Was there a translator there, like translating your jokes?
Luckily, like if there happened to be one. Yeah. But yeah, but it was not like a planned translator.
And a deaf one right next to it.
Somebody, sign language. Somebody who happened. But Asian people are the nicest because like they'll never heckle or boo. Mm-hmm. They'll watch and record and then clap at the end. Mm-hmm. But like even if they're not laughing, they're intrigued. Like they're the most polite people you'll ever meet.
You've actually been to Wuhan.
I've been to Wuhan, Xi'an.
Why do I keep hanging out with you?
No, this is 3 years ago, 4 years ago.
Probably you were the alpha carrier.
What's
you probably showed that you probably
patient zero.
Yeah, you're the one who gave it to everybody.
What's crazy is that you learn a lot about China, but one of the things you learn is that they encourage pollution. Like, I went to go put my garbage away, and my friend's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm throwing my trash away. They're like, no, they want you to leave it everywhere. And I go, why? They're like, oh, because they said it creates more jobs. Someone's job is to pick up trash. I'm like,
makes perfect sense to me, dude.
I mean, look, that's Trump's next plan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just start tossing.
They said,
yeah.
I go, how do you guys think about Trump? What do you like? They're like, does your government like Trump? They go, yeah, they love Trump.
Nice.
And I go, why? They go, because it shows that democracy doesn't work because the people will vote a fucking clown into the. I swear, this is what they told me that you can leave it up to democracy, you get Trump. You know what? That's why they like Trump, but for not the reason you think they would like Trump. Anyway, before we can't get that mayhem intro,
bro. Oh. Everyone's seen my intros on a million times.
We don't have first of all, and I keep getting people to ask to this right here. All right, so what are you doing here?
What do you mean? What am I doing?
Like, who came up with this?
Me.
Okay, so you're like, I want to come out as an angel?
Yeah, and it kind of went with marketing. I did like a botched t-shirt deal with Tap Out, and they're like, they kind of like, they wanted to like, have, you know, it was back in like the affliction days almost, where like every shirt was like some bad tattoos,
right, so
you know what I mean?
Let's play on this
Every shirt
you.
Was like...
So you come out and you're like you're like a big
yeah, something like the and, Halo music.
And people
playing.
Are just confused, right? So now are you like Jesus here?
Yeah. No, I wasn't Jesus. I was just a guy who's wearing an angel robe. You know what I mean? Kind of like my angel cosplay. Like
with a tap out shirt on it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All right. So then,
and then the music changes, right?
Yeah.
Everybody gets hype, right? And I bust out into the sexy t-shirt. I mean, look, this is just marketing 101. Everybody who's doing marketing today is like standing on my shoulders at this point. Then these wild girls, not professional dancers, by the way.
They look pretty good. I mean, they had the thing. Who came up with the dance?
Me. We went over it for a while. And I didn't expect them to be in my face like this.
You told them exactly. No, you worried about getting knocked out at one point by these flying arms?
Well, if you pay attention, I think right around the next chick just turns around and tries to whack me in the face. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Now, where did you find these girls?
I don't know. Probably at the same strip club that you do comedy at. You know, their hiring pool is pretty small, you know.
Did you sleep with any of them or no?
All of them, yeah.
Really?
That was the tensome night.
Which one was disappointed?
Yeah, all of them. Yeah. I mean, really, like, the reality is. If I cared, I wouldn't be me.
Now, is that your friend that I met? Where's the Hawaiian guy I met?
I don't know.
Jason, the guy who said it was you for every fight? The guy?
John,
yeah, what happened?
Oh, John Schneider? He was there.
No, not
for
Schneider,
sure.
The guy that from Portland, Oregon, that gave me all the monsters. Nice guy.
Oh, Snack you're talking about him. Jimmy Knox?
Yeah, Jimmy Knox.
Oh, man, he's out there somewhere. Yeah, for sure. He was always with me through a bunch of fights, you know what I mean? That guy always take care of me.
And then people always ask me to ask you about the Ariel Helwani interview.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Anything
well,
you want to...
That, you know, in context, it makes more sense. You know, like I had just gone through like the worst part of my life where the UFC denied my surgery claim. And like I was mad at the entire sport of MMA. And instead of like going out and like giving a measured response like I would do today, mm-hmm. you know, and give kind of like, my take on the situation. I just went, you know what? Fuck you guys. Fuck all of this. This whole sport's fucked up. And I just went on and, you know, showed my ass. Like, and I had the excuse that, you know, I had this character of Lucky Patrick Murphy, who is the perfect foil for Ariel Helwani because he's like a dude who doesn't give a fuck, who like hates everybody and everything. So I just played this Lucky Patrick character to avoid talking about what was really going on in my heart, which was that I felt really, you know, hurt by the whole community and everything was like messed up. You know?
But wasn't the movie was coming out?
Yeah,
and you had a decent part in it.
Yeah, and I had a lot to do with that. That
now wasn't a good promotion for the movie though.
I mean, maybe not, but I doubt I'm the reason why it flopped at the box office.
No, but I'm saying like, but in your head, are you saying, well,
I said,
I'll
you know,
that.
I might as well look. I kind of like was, you know. Because I made all these disparaging comments against the brass, I was being everyone was turning their back on me. I said, you know what? Fine, I'm gonna turn my back on you.
Right.
You know, and I like went bigger than I went totally anti. I didn't try to like, you know,
but it wasn't one person.
Try to go hand in
hand. It was everybody you were mad at.
Oh yeah.
Now, did anyone ever try to talk you out of that?
No. Oh, no. I mean, maybe, but not really because I'd already, you know, separated myself. Oh. And really the. You know, if I were to have like better guidance at that stage, I think I could have dealt with my feelings better.
Right.
And you know what I mean? Like,
of course.
Understood. But I didn't have anyone close to me. You know,
and people are also scared of you.
Yeah, that's the other, you know.
You're a trained killer.
Exactly. And, you know, I was my outward show was very like scary. So obviously, you know, people are going to have trouble calming me down or relating
to
me.
Well, I looked at you as like a pit bull that was out of control, but somehow liked me.
Yeah,
it was nice to me, but was going to bite everybody else.
Well, no, because you were one of the only friends that kind of like, you know, stuck by me and kind of like was like, dude, and at least tried to be my friend. But like, I was so angry.
I remember I would tell you, I'm like, Mayhem, I like just you. I remember telling Jason, I like you. You're enough. You don't need to do this. But then I would see, and you would hear me. But then there'd be like,
just throngs of crazy people love mayhem.
And then you
mayhem.
Would be say things like, "Yeah, fuck you." And everyone would laugh like it was Carlin's closer in like 84, and I'm just like, "Oh god."
So the big assumption for that video for Ariel Wani when you jumped up on the desk was that you were fucked up on drugs or something. So you're saying the whole reason that
you know that I think that's part of it for sure because I did.
What drugs were you taking?
All of them. So,
but not you weren't taking crack.
No.
Heroin.
But no. But nothing
meth,
hardcore.
Probably.
No. But the problem was more my dealing with my emotions. Mm-hmm. You know, it was more that. It was more me not being able to have like an outlet, being injured, so no more training, and not being able to express myself through my art was like eating at me. And instead of dealing with that in like a healthy way, I dealt with it by just lashing out at everyone. And it really, you know, it set me back. It ruined my life for a long time. And you know, I feel like I'm beyond that. And it's like, I can now reflect on that and help other people. So I've been helping a lot of guys come up out of
also,
this.
Also, like, I'm telling you, like, I know that like right now you're not where you want to be in your career.
Yeah.
But I have so much respect for you. And I look up to you a lot. And I'm like, always like, and whenever things are getting tough on my hand, I'm like, what the fuck? I didn't sell this fucking show and that show. And you say to me, like, who gives a fuck? Like, I'm like, this one turned me down. You're like, so?
Yeah,
and I'm like,
trucking,
man.
Bro.
And
keep
I'm like,
trucking.
If you're coming back from where you are, like, I have no excuse to fucking not push forward. You know,
I think I've seen a lot of people not come back from where I am. Like, not where I was. I've seen You know, we've both seen it. We've seen guys just go like dead. And I was counting the other day, I was counting like how many guys, like guys I fought dead, got, you know what I mean? Who didn't come back from that dark place. And it makes me really, you know, compassionate towards dudes who are having a tough time right now. And, or, you know, or ladies too. It's a whole thing.
Well, Ariel, I mean, I remember he never liked me. I made a couple jokes about him looking like Toucan Sam or something. Just some stupid jokes, right? Like, just stupid jokes. I mean, just like
Adam.
Really like fourth grade jokes.
Yeah.
And I remember hanging out with you and you called him and you were like, you put him on speaker and you're like, no, Adam's funny. I see him do well. He kills. And he's like, these aren't even jokes and this and that. He got upset.
And then I was like, you don't know jokes.
And you were trying to broker the peace deal between me and him.
And then
I saw him a couple times. He shit on me on Twitter. And I've always like,
really?
Well, here's the thing. It's like when I roast a fighter, like a fighter, a guy that could fuck me up. Like, I think he knows, like, I'm doing it in a way where I'm like, okay, try to do it in fun. At the same time, like, you could fuck me up. When I roasted him, I almost felt like I was picking on him in some way. Maybe because...
No, you were.
And
the same thing happened with me. Because I was just joking with him with this interview.
Yeah.
I jumped on the table. Mm. But what I didn't realize was that a lot of, like, MMA nerds totally identify with him. And, like, they were looking at me as like a bully.
Yeah.
But I was just, to me, it was all in good fun.
Well, the thing is, he was
fucking
like,
with them.
Well, he was also like, when he said, leave me alone, I left him alone. Because like, I'm not going to fuck, unless somebody wants to be fucked with, I'm not really going to fuck with them.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, it's hard sometimes with a guy like John Jones, who just keeps like coming up with ridiculous things, but you're the champ, you're in the spotlight. My job is to make jokes. I'm not going to not make jokes. But with him, like, so I backed off with him because I'm like, this is not fun. But then when he takes shots at me, it's like, bro. But then I saw him and he's like, yo, you know, I was just kidding when I took a shot. I'm like,
no, what?
I'm like, all right, man. I'm like, it's okay, man. Like,
yeah, I don't think, look, a lot of people don't understand like comedy culture and like the, you know, it's a different world. Like the shit, the zingers that I be hitting on guys at the Comedy Store or at a, you know what I mean, at a different shows, like in the parking lot, fucking with each other is like something that if you said it in a gym, like it would be a fight on the mat. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But it's like, and guys go at me real hard and I'm not going to be violent towards them. It's funny. Like it's like mental jujitsu. You got to get out there and zing each other.
Well, I think also a lot of times, not all the time, but a lot of times when I roast Colby or when I roast certain guys, I'll text them the joke first. And be like, hey, is it cool if I say this? And 100% time, they're like, yeah.
The Weird Al strategy? Like, that's what Weird Al always sent his songs to the band.
Oh, yeah, because I'm like, because then people are like, oh, he's going to kill you. I'm like, he's going to kill you. I'm like, all right, anyway, so let's talk about the boxing match.
No, but before we move on, I just think it's really interesting that you have a dog that's was a pit bull bait dog.
Yeah.
And you essentially are a pit bull bait dog. Yeah, like a chihuahua that just yaps at all these pit bulls all day.
Yeah.
Some parallels.
I mean, you have unparalleled
power. My dog is 3-0 against you, though. Yeah. He's bitten Mayhem 3 times in the face.
Nello. I almost let him bite me again just for old time's sake.
I was at his party. And this is when Mayhem was like out of control, naked, running around with his dog in front of him.
As I'm wont to do.
And he takes these fucking like these little snaps, some of those little snap things, and he throws in my direction. It hits my dog with a fucking snap thing.
So I'm a terrible person.
So then I'm leaving,
that.
And he's like, sorry. Where are you going? I'm like, because you fucking threw fireworks at my dog.
Yeah.
And first of all, they weren't fireworks. They were like those little snap things. But he's like, doggy. And my dog's like,
you missed the part. I chewed up some meat and put it in my mouth and tried to give it to him, and the dog bit me in the face.
Bow, bow, bow. I fucking bit, like, gave you stitches.
Two in the. I didn't get any stitches, but this scar right here is from that dog. Son of a bitch.
Dog's like, listen,
hey, you know, that dog's getting old, man. It's time to put it down. Maybe I could do the job.
No. No, thank you. All right, let's talk about the boxing.
Jesus.
All right, Deontay Wilder obviously saw your entrance
and tried to steal my thunder.
And he's claiming that one of the reasons
he
lost that fight against Tyson Fury was he had 40 pounds of costume on him and his legs gave out.
You know what's crazy, dude? When I saw him walking out, I said to my brother-in-law Jake, I said, that's probably going to affect him in the fight. Because like, that looks very uncomfortable. And then second of all, that's like a 20-minute walk from the locker room to the cage.
Yeah, plus this guy was doing his Black History rap for 30 minutes. Yeah.
I mean, how much? I know. Can you get to the chorus, please? Yeah. Now, how much is 40 pounds of is
that's
that?
A lot of weight. I mean, that's a lot of weight to be trudging up to the ring, you know, on the biggest fight of your life.
And your face
but
is covered.
Moreover, I mean, that could have an effect for sure. But I think more likely it was that extra 40 pounds that Tyson Fury was carrying around his midsection that he just kept leaning on him. And basically, if you look at some successful MMA fights, for instance, if there's a dude who's great at kickboxing and you got a little weight on this guy, if you clench him, hold on to him, and start wearing him out, dirty boxing, old school Randy Couture style, right? You lean on him. Guess what? His punches aren't snappy anymore, round two. And then his kicks are worthless, round three.
Yeah. So
then you just keep
and
bowling
Tyson
him over.
And Tyson went to a trainer that used to be Emmanuel Stewart's guy.
Yeah.
And Emmanuel Stewart was like notorious for her training the Klitschko's and Lennox Lewis of just put your weight on somebody.
I didn't know that. I didn't realize that was his trainer.
Puts your weight on somebody.
And then the rest of the time used long punches, jabs, and wide hooks. Yeah, and look, that's exactly what he did. I mean, it was a great strategy. It worked. Shocked the world. I gave the edge. I thought Wilder was going to win. But then when I saw the first round, I was like, well, whoops. I made a mistake. Because as soon as I saw the size differential between the guys, I was like, wow, I really fucked this one up. Because I was on – the whole world got on Deontay Wilder's dick. And for good reason, the dude's a great boxer, but
and a good guy. He seemed like a pretty good guy.
Yeah, but the size difference was amazing, and he just used the perfect.
I was
strategy.
Ready for Wilder because I had a comedy show after his first fight, and it was one of those shows. It was all Hollywood people. I mean, big time Hollywood people, actors. Ed Norton, this one, that one, and people were talking throughout people's sets, except for him. Him and his buddies were watching the whole show and like in the middle of the room, wasn't like they were in the front and laughing and could not have been more polite. And that means a lot. Mm-hmm. Like sometimes like when you see a celebrity in the crowd and they're not paying attention to your set, you're just like, man, fuck this guy. Or they're talking the whole time or this
really?
Or that. Yeah, yeah. Like you've been to like 100 shows. You're always the most polite. Like you sit in the back, you watch. It means a lot when people pay attention as a performer. And it means a lot when someone's not doing that.
Yeah. Even fights, like I have, like a lot of people are like, hey, Mayhem, if I'm at a fight, they try to talk through the rounds. Like, I'm like, nah. Like, I just kind of like go in between rounds, bud.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because like, if I'm sitting close enough, I don't want the fighters to be hearing my loud ass voice like, ha, 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 yeah, yeah. Meanwhile, this dude's getting ground and pound. He's like trying to focus on what he's doing. I don't want to be fucking around making.
Now, could you hear Joe Rogan talking during your fights?
Yeah. You hear everything sometimes. Like wherever you're closest to, you can hear like what's going on. Like it's a bizarre thing where, you know, when you're really in the zone, you're hyper focused, but you also can like flit your focus from place to place. Like, you can hear everything at the same time. It's a bizarre
experience. Now, what do you think about, people are talking about open scoring? Because
I mean, I think, look, man, I'm about to damn.
So we'll explain to people. Open scoring is like, so that, like, you know, sometimes at the end of the fight, they'll say, okay, 50 to 45. You're like, what? It was much closer than that, or whatever. Well, the judges will tell you the score after each round, so you'll know if you're down 3-1 and you got to win that. You need a knockout to win or something.
Well,
or,
I have a few. The argument against it is, what purpose is it going to serve except to rile the crowd up and piss everybody off?
One guy might coast too, if you know
that's
you're
off. That's what I'm saying, yeah. And then, like, there's a lot of reasons not to do it, and what reason is there to do it? Like, go ahead and convince me. Give me the reason why they should.
Well, all right. I'll try to play. I'm against it only because I sort of like the mystification and like the, you know.
Oh, my God.
Do I know who's going to win? And it kind of keeps me. But that way, a fighter who thinks he's up, or thinks it might actually go for the knockout. And they said in Cage Warriors, which has open scoring over in Ireland, it's led to like exciting fights where there's not been one decision in the last whatever. It's
really?
They said it's the opposite of what you would think.
Okay,
that's the one thing. I could see both sides. I mean, in other sports, you know the score.
Yeah.
Right? And if you know a guy needs a submission or a knockout, at the same time, if I'm a fighter and I win and I think I won the round, and all of a sudden the judges give it to the other guy, I might be like, how the fuck did I lose? Am I thinking about the judges now and not the fight? You know?
Yeah. There's a lot of different angles for it. I mean, really, something's got to be done, because at this point, you know, we've seen 3 fights in a row where it's been like questionable ass judging, right? Like, am I wrong about this? Because let's play them back. This last UFC with Felder, right?
Yeah.
What the fuck was that? Okay, fine.
Well,
I get it. He was lumped up pretty good. And
how much, I was going to ask you about that. How much does that affect the actual, the visual?
Because
a lot of times one guy looks fucking like he just went through a war.
Yeah.
The other guy has better skin.
Yeah.
And whereas, like, Felder looked like he got more fucked up than Hooker.
It's a lot. I mean, that shows it right there, like, that decision. But at the same time, like, judges are human.
And the
crowd.
You know,
I tell you, the crowd gets on the side of the guy who's not as lumped up. And it's just natural human instinct that if you got, even if you, like, win the fight, but you're all busted all to hell, that people tend to side with a guy with a less fucked up face, you know?
I feel like black people have better skin.
Oh, for sure.
And not to be racist, but it never looks like they lose the fight.
Cocoa butter, man, I'm telling you.
You think it's cocoa butter?
Undoubtedly. Yeah, it's awesome.
I mean, if you looked at Usman versus Colby, you would think Colby got, like, annihilated.
Tenderized?
I can't think of a time where I've actually seen a black guy look like he got fucked up in a fight.
That's the most racist thing you ever said on this podcast. But, like, in a weird, positive way.
Maybe Rashad Evans in his fights. What?
Did you see the fight on the prelims, I think, with Caracara France versus...
I didn't see that one.
Tam? I thought that was a big robbery.
Tyson Nam one?
I thought Caracara... I don't even know that's his real name. I'm sorry. Yeah, I thought he lost almost every round, but he won 30-27 on the judges' scorecards. Yeah. But then he's also like, that's his home. It's New Zealand, you know?
Yeah. So like, back to what you were saying, the open judging might be the solution to a lot of this, because if a guy knows he's down, I guess you're right. You know, I mean, there's a good argument to be made that if the corner goes, yeah, you're definitely down, because I had fights where I was like, I thought I was up. No.
What fight was that?
Yeah. It was a few. There was a few different ones early in my career. I don't even remember what they were. But I remember thinking like, oh man, like, and then later you look at the scorecards and I was losing until I won.
Wow.
So it was like, whoa, like, okay. So you don't know. And I've been to fights. It depends on the locale, because like I told you, I've been to a fight before where I don't know, man, the judge was talking to me the whole time, not watching the fight. I was sitting in the front row, and he kept leaning around, like, hey, man, I like bully beatdown. And I'm like, whoa, this guy's a judge? And he's like, yeah, my favorite episode you fought on. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Bro, I even told him, watch the fight, man.
Now, Wilder's equilibrium, right? His ear exploded or something. Has that ever happened to you?
Yeah. Well, that's the interesting thing is before the trick fight, I was sparring with Jeremy Williams, like world-class boxer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And he bust me in the ear so hard that, like, I was spinning for weeks. Yeah, like a week or two before that fight, I was like, it was like one of my last sparring.
Like when you got up too fast or something? Or?
Yeah, it's like that, you know, that weird, like, I felt like, you know, the zipper? At a circus, I felt like it was on the zipper
all day long?
The time. But every time I leaned backwards, every time I was in the guard, I was spinning. Yeah, and you know, it's one of those things. If you're a gamer, you just keep, you know, you push through, and that's what you got to do. You know, to be successful in the sport, sometimes you know you're injured.
Frank Trigg, by the way, one of those guys, underrated fighter. And
yeah,
also,
well, it's like one of those things. He was against the status quo, so he got the same treatment as anybody who goes against
him. He also looks back at, like, it's almost like he has that guy from Ace Ventura, Einhorn. Like, he's like, laces out. Like, he, as far as the Matt Hughes fight,
of course,
if only my life, if only I would have won that, my whole life would be different.
Oh, yeah. I mean, but we all have to deal with that, right? And so, I mean, I'm sure they're like, what, last comic standing?
Yeah, well, Eliza Schlesinger, what she wants.
Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. We all have those, like, oh, I shoulda, woulda, coulda.
Yeah,
you know,
but that's not, just life, but his is, like...
pretty big.
Well, just also, it's right us, there. It's
but
like,
he gave us, like, that was one of the best fights of all time.
Of course.
So, you know, obviously, you know, it's like...
Well, it's crazy how Hughes was the good guy in that.
Weird.
And Trigg was the bad guy.
Weird. Yeah.
But if you look, people that seem to know Hughes and know Trigg sometimes feel a little differently.
The opposite. I know, huh?
So, all right.
Yeah,
so,
but Deontay, I mean, obviously, I don't know. I didn't read the report afterwards. Like, did they say
his ear wasn't,
it definitely was.
It was bleeding.
It was
but
very
it wasn't.
Strange to see somebody gushing blood out of their ear and not have Ebola. You know, like, what the fuck was that, bro?
He also
I was
like
shocked.
One of those guys that, like, keeps getting away with bad habits working for him.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't keep losing 8 rounds and then catching a guy in the ninth and win the fight. That's going to eventually catch up to you. And it sort of did.
The strategy worked. Like, you know, Fury was badass. Like, that was like a grappling match, sort of. You know, like, he, like, just the first 6 rounds or whatever was all or first 5 rounds were, like, all grappling. Mm. And then it was just a slam. What's going on, bro?
He's telling me we got 20 minutes. But I think we're going to do one today. We have till 3, right? Yeah. I was going to say, next week I'm in Vegas, so we don't have a podcast next week. Unless you want to come to Vegas with me, we can do a podcast. I'll take you to the fights.
Or I can just come here by myself.
You want to do,
and do a lone podcast from the
that
studio.
Too. Do you want to come to Vegas next week?
I'm not sure.
I got a room
sure
for you.
I'm not sure my schedule. I'll
I mean, like, with me.
Wait, is it at the Stratosphere?
At the Strat.
Oh, no thanks.
I could actually, it's called the Strat now. They did it.
Oh,
it's called
the Strat. Never mind. Sign me up.
It's like when Urkel became like Stefan.
Yeah, badass.
Now, what did you think about Fury tasting the blood?
I didn't taste it. That was like something the damn announcer said that was ridiculous. He just like flicked his tongue, the tongue flick.
I liked it.
He did the Shakira tongue for sure, of course.
Who have you made out with during a fight? I think he was giving him a hickey, sort of.
Ooh.
No?
What are you talking about, bro?
It looked like
bro?
He was, like, licking his
Why
neck.
Why do you make everything sexual? He was just flicking his tongue, bro.
Yeah,
it's just
man.
A casual
sexual
Friday for him.
At all.
Yeah.
How's your sex life going, by the way?
It's good, but I got some strange things going on mentally for me, dude.
As usual.
I'm a guy that's heavily influenced by his dreams. You know, like, I let my dreams, like, sort of dictate my emotions sometimes.
Isn't
sometimes
that's Starbucks good. Something?
You know, sometimes that's good. Sometimes that's bad. The other night, I had a dream where I was, like, in this relationship with this person who I couldn't tell if it was a man or a woman.
Ooh.
It was, like, it looked like a woman, but it had, like, a man's face.
Nice.
My end conclusion was that it was a man. So I was, like, in this gay relationship with
hey,
this
bro,
man.
Hey, bro, maybe she was non-binary.
So you might be gay?
Well, I was having gay sex with this man in my dream. I ain't gonna lie. But something happened.
Were you top or bottom?
Listen, I was top. You
okay.
Know? So that's not that gay. It's still gay, but not that gay.
You were riding him? I mean, that's pretty gay.
Yeah.
Don't you think
yeah.
having being erect in somebody is gayer than just taking it?
I mean, it's a debate.
I'm out of this
conversation. It's a debate that's been debated for centuries, dude. I don't know. I don't know, man. It depends if you're enjoying it on the bottom.
That's a good point. So go on. So what happened?
So in this dream, I was like banging this dude, and then he just started farting all over me. And see, this sounds so dumb, but it happened. This is like this is real.
Okay.
And right when that happened, I woke up, and I was like, oh, I'm not gay.
Oh, why? Because the fart?
Yeah. And I don't know. I'm going to edit this part out, by the way.
No, you're not.
No, you're not. No editing. You just took it to another level.
I know that I would not say this because it would be so retarded. It would have made sense. This really happened. That's why I'm saying I know it sounds
so
stupid.
Well, you're into women, though. You have a girlfriend?
I do have a girlfriend.
Did you tell her about your dream?
She knows now.
No, I don't want to tell nobody about that.
Except for everyone watching.
Yeah, except for fucking 10,000 people. 30,000. A million people who watch this goddamn podcast.
I think you're okay, man. People have crazy dreams. It doesn't mean anything.
Right.
Okay.
How's Valentine's Day?
I disagree. It means something. It might not mean everything, but it means something.
I've had a lot of gay dreams before, but that one was just kind of strange.
Wayne, you know, don't be so suburban, bro. Don't just think of yourself as binary. Maybe you're a woman inside of a man.
I could be.
No, maybe you're a guy who likes gay sex.
I mean, yeah, it's not a big deal.
Gay.
Listen, it doesn't matter. Listen, what matters is Cejudo is fighting Aldo. All right, so
back to the
segue.
So Henry Cejudo, people are very angry because after he won his last fight, he called out Jose Aldo.
Yeah.
Right, and Aldo is coming off a loss.
But is it a loss?
I was there.
Was it really?
It could have went either way.
Exactly.
Kind of like Ween Dog.
Yeah.
So it was one of those things where it could have went either way, right? Yeah. I didn't hate the decision. I think people love Aldo so much.
We all love
that
him.
They wanted him to win.
Exactly.
But it is weird that this is, he gets the title shot, but it's in Brazil.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you ever fought in Brazil?
No. You spent time there. Trained there. Yeah.
What was that like training there?
It was awesome. I mean, it was awesome.
Train with Aldo?
Yeah. No. Yeah. I trained with the Aldo, the team, bro. It's a team of the most savage, like, midgets on earth, bro. Like, it was like a bunch of like little jacked Brazilian dudes.
Was it Nogueira and those guys? Or?
I trained with them too. I trained with all the teams.
What's the difference between like training in Brazil versus training in the US?
Well, I feel like there's like a longer tradition so that there's a more developed, every camp has a more developed style because, you know, here in America, we just really got going in the past 20 years, you know? But in Brazil, they've been doing it since the 60s. So it's like more like it's like more flushed out. Like everybody has different strategies and they have like a, back in the day, it was just like split up with Lucha Libre, you know, Luta Libre, which is like, you know, stand up kind of Muay Thai fighting. And then it was the Gracie Jiu-Jitsu. So, you know, the history of those two camps being separated has kind of dissolved. And now these new... The birth of those, you know, two styles combined is at every different camp. And guys are picking up more wrestling from Americans. So it's like a strange, like, melting pot where you see these, like, extremely developed styles. And the thing about Brazilian people is that, like, they're all, like, physically talented. Like, here in America, we, like, put money over everything. It seems like in Brazil, they're, like, put physicality over
like
everything.
Women, too.
Oh, my goodness. Popa Zuda.
But as far as, like, the practice, right? So you've been doing, like, I don't know, practice all over the world.
Yeah.
In America, you know, I would say a lot of practices are like, okay, today, you go, you stretch, you do some shadow boxing training, and then you do some, like, you know, rolling, and then maybe sparring at the end.
Yeah.
Is that how?
Well, Aldo's camp was different. Like, they, like, pretty much sparred, like, all the time. And I think that's kind of the reason that we're having Aldo, like, be kind of, you know what I mean?
He's young.
Yeah. And everybody, like, you know, they put a lot around emphasis on sparring.
Big glove sparring, like, or small glove sparring?
Both. And it was real wild. I got to watch some matches that were, like, unbelievable in that room. Because the dudes are lighter weight. The room is pretty damn small. That's the other thing about Brazil is that, you know, the space is at a premium. Like, you know, it's expensive there, you know, for martial arts. So these dudes are, you know, it's hard to get a nice academy. So the gyms are all kind of small. So, you know, and these dudes just go for it. Like, badass fighting, and their style, you can tell that everybody on that team is a gamer, like, because in order to stay in that room, you got to be able to
and
fight.
Is it anything goes, like heel hooks, like people are
yeah, but at the same time, the thing about that was at the end of the training session, you know, since we were so much heavier, I was like a lot heavier than everyone there, the craziest thing happened. Like, this dude started like screaming something in Portuguese at me, and I was like, what? And then the translator said, he's asking if you're heavy or light. And I was like, I'm heavy? And the guy went, oh! and everybody screamed like, oh, he's heavy, he's heavy. And then everybody like surrounded me and just jumped on my ass and like started fucking tackling me and tapping me out. And then like,
what if you were
choking
light?
Me. They were all light. I would have been on their team if I was light, but I was heavy. So they just tapped me. Somebody bit me on the ass.
No.
Yes.
Do you think that Aldo, caused coronavirus?
Yeah, that guy definitely had some type of virus. After the session, Jose Aldo pointed the guy out who bit me on the ass, and I bit that dude on the shoulder so hard.
Really?
Yeah,
were left the mark.
Yeah. You know, it's like camaraderie.
Now, afterwards, are you going to the beach? Brazilian women are just insane.
Insane, yeah.
Are they flirting with you, or are you hitting on them?
Oh, for sure. You know what? There's a weird, I mean, I don't know. You know, I got like 30% better looking in a third world country. You know what I'm saying? Like,
oh, they want some, Americans.
I guess. I mean,
now I heard a lot of them are escorts.
I don't know.
But they were giving you free everything.
I didn't speak Portuguese enough to get to the payment transaction part of the
I dated a
deal.
Girl who was a porn star, and then I found out she was an escort on like a high.
But what's the difference? Come on.
Well, there was a camera involved. But anyway, but she wasn't charging me. I don't know if I was super insulted or.
Nah,
like, she just liked me. But like.
Sure got a punch card. Your next one is free.
What's up, people? Listen, football might be packed away, but basketball, hockey, and golf. You could even bet on the Academy Awards were last week. You could have bet on that, all right? Because just go to Bet Online, and that's our exclusive sportsbook partner, okay? They've been in industry for over 20 years, providing customers with the first-to-market odds and giving you the ability to bet anytime, anywhere. Yep, head over to betonline.ag and use our promo code CLNS50 to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. And have a little fun with some betting action today. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. So, all right, let's talk about now. A lot of people are angry. Aljamain Sterling's upset, and I really think he should get. You can't start just giving people title shots because you like them.
What do you
or
mean?
Because they're legends. Mm-hmm. You gotta go by the rankings.
Listen, you're like keep every show. You like make this argument, and I always tell you you're an idiot because you're an idiot. Of course you can. Look, who's gonna sell more tickets? That guy you just named, who I don't know,
Aljamain Sterling.
Aljamama Sterling,
yeah,
or Jose Aldo, especially in Brazil. Come on.
Well, they wouldn't fight in Brazil if it was Aljamain Sterling.
Obviously but, not, but their UFC is going to Brazil,
of course,
and it's a solid money move to have their biggest star in that weight class.
Then why even have rankings?
To make nerds like you feel better about the sport. Yeah. I mean, look, the people in the know realize that, hell yeah. Like, you know,
I went to a strip club with Aljamain one time, actually, in Vegas.
Really?
It was old Dan Henderson.
No, and don't get me wrong, he's a fantastic fighter. But what I mean is that ticket sales.
Well, Hendo came to my show and was like, hey, afterwards, we're going on a party bus. You're coming, right? And my wife was like, going to be in labor in 2 weeks. She was furious when I told her on the way to deliver the baby. But anyway, so it was, but we go there and Hendo's giving lap dances on the party bus, which you have not lived or died until you've seen him give lap dances. Then I get there, I'm with Gian Vellante, who's a great guy, and Aljamain and his girlfriend, who's like smoking hot. Like Mayweather hit on her one time and like they almost fought. Like she's like, but they were fighting. You're into a club or a strip club with a couple that's fighting. And I kept trying to make them laugh, make her laugh at my expense.
You're that guy.
Because I'm like, yeah, well, she came to the show and this and that, and I kept making it worse. Like, you ever have two friends that don't like each other, and you like, oh, if I get them both to hate me, they'll at least bond? I used to be that guy. But I was failing miserably with his girlfriend. She's from Long Island too, like beautiful. But it was
riveting.
Bad. It was bad. Great story. Anyway, so Little Nog is taking on Shogun for the third time.
Yeah, that's a wild one. That's so strange.
Nog is 44 years old.
Nice. Yeah, I don't get that. I mean, good for them. They, you know, I guess they, you know, they want to fight. So. Let's do it.
I guess it's like
trying to capture that magic, huh?
Well, I guess it's I'd rather have two older veterans fight each other than a young upstart versus a
that like, happens too.
Which but I like when the old guy wins. So Israel Izzy Stylebender.
Yeah.
So he made a joke about, I guess he's fighting Romero.
Yeah.
And he, I think he said something to the extent of, I'm going to make him fall like the Twin Towers or mm-hmm. something. People got really angry about that. He since apologized.
What, is it too soon?
Well, being from New York, I get it was, look, I wasn't offended by this.
I'm going to bomb him like a kamikaze did Pearl Harbor.
Because I knew that he didn't mean it, like he wasn't trying to make fun of the 3,000 people that died. I get he was just making a stupid, you know what I'm saying? I wasn't, and he apologized. And
when I first heard it, I thought he was talking about Lord of the Rings, like the Twin Towers from Lord of the Rings, because he's from New Zealand, and that's like a Lord, like New Zealand is like, yeah, that's what I thought. I didn't think of 9/11.
You're on the spectrum.
Lord of the Rings, Twin Towers, two towers, anyone?
Calm down, Frodo.
God damn it.
It's not exactly what anyone else in the world thought, but you.
Well, I'm just trying to help him out.
It's okay. Well, I knew it. I don't know. I don't think he meant it in the way people took it. So let's talk about some of the fights over the weekend. So we talked about Felder being robbed. Angela Hill fought now twice in 28 days, 6 fights in 11 months, won 5 of them.
She's staying healthy.
Now, do you think that was your problem?
Fighting all the time?
Too much. No, inactivity.
Oh.
Because I know there was a while where, like, Strikeforce got bought out by the UFC.
Yeah, that was the worst. Yeah, that was a nightmare where if you don't get to fight for a long time, you're just in the room all the time. Yeah, it really...
And all the distractions in your life. You think if, like, you would have fought 6 times in 11 months for, like, 4... Maybe you'd have more brain damage or whatever.
Yeah,
but
for sure.
You actually would have been in a better spot.
Yeah, maybe, yeah. Keeping a fighter active definitely helps them, you know, develop. And what? She's on a win streak right now, right?
Yeah,
so it's like... Yeah, it's like one of those things that if you're healthy enough to keep fighting, you know?
Yeah, no.
Well, that's so interesting that she fought in the 28 days. So she didn't get injured in that fight at all, huh?
No. Awesome. No. And she's just killing it. Yan Xionanan, I just butchered it, but she fought Carolina
Kowalkiewicz.
Yeah, and who's now lost 4 in a row. Said she was seeing double after the first round.
Yeah, she had like a broken orbital bone or
Have
something.
You ever saw double? No?
No, I never I mean,
when you were drunk or something.
But, yeah, definitely. But no, I never had like a head injury and saw double, yeah. That's concerning. She broke her orbital?
Yeah,
that's probably a visual, you know, thing where her eye is a little bit.
She's got to take some time off. I mean, 4 in a row, she's got to figure out what she's doing wrong because she came out like guns ablaze in the beginning.
Yeah.
Wait, so but they're probably going to cut her, no?
They probably will, but she's from Poland, right?
I think she has a big following. I don't think the UFC's going to cut her.
I mean, a lot of times if somebody is from a country where there are not a lot of stars, which I think is the case with her, I'm pretty sure she's from Poland, and I don't think they have many UFC stars in Poland, they'll keep people, which is also not fair.
The level is high out there. I spent time out there.
Poland?
Yeah, the level is pretty high because they have a strong tradition of judo.
For female fighters?
Female fighters. There are a lot there. Yeah, I got the pleasure to meet a few, and I was there. Tough. There's some tough people out there in Poland.
My favorite is when Sean McCorkle, who we're going to have on the podcast. I love that guy. He when he beat Puchnowski.
Yeah.
The second time he fought him, he wore a Puchnowski shirt.
Yeah.
During the press conference, and they were like, "Why are you wearing a shirt of your opponent?" He goes, "To remind myself who the second strongest man in the world is, because he's the world's strongest man."
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone, he goes, "I am now the world's strongest man." Then he goes, "I am no longer a citizen of the U.S. I renounce my citizenship." And then he the reporter was like, "Who's going to win tonight?" He goes, "It depends on who steroids are better." He said that.
Classic McCork.
Yeah, I love that guy. We're going to have him back on.
Right.
He's a big fan of yours, by
I'm
the way.
A big fan of his. He's hilarious.
Emil Meek, Jake Matthews. That was a close one, too. I thought Meek had that one.
I thought Meek Mill won for sure. I mean, Drake had nothing on him.
let's talk about Bellator, because you're right. They had great events. So they had an event Friday, which was awesome, from Oklahoma. Then they had an event Saturday morning from Ireland. But then they showed the undercard, and then they had the main card on later on in the day on tape delay after you know who won because you're on Instagram and everyone posts it. And it goes up against a Tyson Fury fight that night.
What? Yeah.
Like, who thought this was a good idea?
Yeah, I don't understand that. I guess what? We have to blame Scott Coker, right? He's the guy who's like calling all the shots there. But also, you know what? Let me take that back, because more than likely, the CEO who's dealing with the television network.
Yeah.
That's who called the shot. And they don't understand, you know, the MMA fans they just understand TV numbers. They figure, oh, this does pretty good, so we're going to put it on the nighttime slot, you know, for people who don't watch boxing.
You have to guarantee a certain amount of programs per year. And this
something
falls
like that.
Yeah,
it's some stuff that's out of our pay grade. We don't understand.
But let's talk about the first one. So Georgi Karakanyan won pretty easily. I'm happy for him. You ever see him train? He's out of Millennium. He's a guy who's like kind of a road warrior. But just and after he won, this is for my son. His son was being born that day.
Wow.
And so nice. that was pretty...
At least he wasn't getting a lap dance from Dan Henderson.
Rowdy Beck won.
Yeah, Rowdy Beck is the best.
And
oh
then
my
called
God.
Out Heather Hardy. Have you seen Heather Hardy?
No, but you seen Rowdy Beck's Just Fans account?
Fans only.
Whatever the fuck it's called.
Somebody needs
to give me a login for that.
Somebody sent me a picture of her on a bike, and she's topless.
Rowdy Beck?
And then they wrote, nice rack on the bike. Like nice bike rack. I was like, dude, you guys have too much free time, but that's funny. All right. If we could get to this fight.
Love dad jokes.
So Ed Ruth, I didn't make that joke, but Ed Ruth fought this guy. His last name is Amosov, Amosov, who's now 22-0. Ed Ruth was a guy everyone was saying is the next big thing.
Yeah.
He was a Penn State phenom, I think 3-time national champion.
Yeah.
I'm sure wrestlers will fucking tell me, no, he. You get it.
He's at that level. He's a fantastic wrestler, yeah.
So two of his fights, so he's, something's off with him. He loses to Gracie. And then he kind of gasses out. Last fight he won, but it was close. You could have given it to the other guy. This fight, there was two times he's on top of the guy, and he could put the rear naked choke in, but doesn't sink his feet in to get the hooks in.
Yeah.
Now, I can't be the only guy going, what's going on? Because John McCarthy is screaming, put your hooks in, as the announcer, which also...
What?
Yeah, like...
That's bizarre.
Can we bring that up?
Wait, I want to hear John screaming.
So
and
Ed Ruth
from the broadcast.
Amosov, and he ended up losing the fight. It was.
And
you think
it's because he didn't sink the hooks? Well, I think that's like a personal choice for a fighter, and especially a wrestler. A lot of guys don't like to run legs, like put their hooks in. I don't know why, but they feel like they have more control. They can float on the guy's back.
Well, the guy was tripoding up.
Yeah, yeah,
so,
I know, yeah.
Like, what on what earth should you not put your hooks in here?
If your strategy... Look, there's some fights I didn't put hooks in because the strategy was to ground and pound the guy, and you just stay behind him and then score shots.
You can't do
from
that
there.
With your hooks in?
Well,
you got to flat him out first.
Well, no, because if you're hanging on his back with no hooks, you have more... you have more range to like extend your arm and punch, because if you're hooked in on his back, you can just kind of like do this like patty cake, right. And there's no knockout potential. But if you're like riding high on his back, you know, with your hip to hip motion,
right. Ed Ruth,
you can smash on the guy.
Do
a lot,
we have the whole fight?
More.
That's probably the second one, right? Full fight, yeah. All right, let's go to the second round, round two, because I was like, this was like. I don't understand fight IQ. Like, this dude, high-level wrestler. I mean, he's got a bit, like, road legs before. I mean, there's not a decent wrestler out there who is not a decent leg rider. Even if you're not even a leg rider, you could still ride legs, you know? So it'll be round two.
This video is part one. It might be in part two.
Yeah, it'll be part two. Right, probably right below
well,
it.
Well, here's round two.
Right below it? All right, so. Round two. All right, so keep going.
Late in the round, right?
Yeah, so
if it's late in the round. It
seemed like the fight
two.
Was a little bit in slow motion, to be honest.
Yeah,
he looks tired, right?
Yeah, both guys got wore out. Yeah, I remember. It's like, let's see.
And this is the main event. I mean, they were really high on this kid. And look, I mean, look, he's had two losses. It's not exactly, you know, I mean, what? How much losses? You're right.
No, because the video's about to end. It's like,
oh,
they like break it up into different parts.
I don't understand what that's for, more clicks or what the hell? We're just like watching
sure.
like piece by piece, and the listeners are just listening to us jabber on.
Well, no, because I honestly am curious as to why he would not throw his hooks
all
in.
Right, here we go.
All right, so hold on. Here we go.
Yeah, let's listen to John McCarthy yodel about putting the hooks in.
Yodel. Big John, by the way, I know people were riding him about being an announcer. He's a great announcer.
Is he?
He is a great announcer.
All right.
The best announcer, in my opinion, is Pat Miletich.
Really?
Who gets zero credit. He does the legacy fights.
Yeah.
And he almost always tells you what's going to happen. And I always, his scorecard is usually not, no, it's usually the right, but sometimes it's not right. But I'd almost like rather win on his scorecard than the actual judges.
Well, I think that's a thing that we didn't talk about earlier is that maybe, you know, you should have some, instead of like the boys club that is the judges, you have like guys who've actually fought be the judges. Maybe that's a wild revolutionary idea.
Militis, by the way, was very angry on Facebook today because Mayor Pete had a 9-year-old go to his thing who said he was gay. And he was like, I'm proud of you.
Gay 9-year-old?
Yeah. And he's like, this is child abuse. A 9-year-old doesn't know if he's gay or not. So
I don't know, bud. I don't know, but I've seen a few gay 9-year-olds for sure.
Really?
Yeah.
Where have you seen?
I don't know. Back about all right, right here. 10 years ago, okay, so I met Ween Dog.
All right. So one. All right. So here. Right here. Shouldn't he put his hooks in here?
I mean, I don't know, bud. Like, the strategy here looks to be wrestling style, like I said. See, he's doing like a wrestling leg ride. Like, I mean, with not a leg ride, just like a wrestling ride where you put hip to hip and you just see this. Instead of the hooks with your legs, he's putting like the seatbelt kind of position.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, look, sure, but you know, you're not in there.
Of course, I'm not in there, but I'm allowed to comment on what I see.
Yeah, but
right?
But at the same time, what I'm saying is that if he's not comfortable putting legs in to ride, why on earth would he do that?
All right, that happened.
I mean, look, was it a mistake? Obviously, it was.
Exact same thing happened in like the third round too.
Yeah. Yeah, well, look, if you're not comfortable with that technique, how are you going to bust it out in a title fight? You know what I'm saying? Like in a main event. You know, if you're not comfortable riding legs, you're not going to do it.
But isn't that kind of a basic rear naked choke?
Look, the beauty of mixed martial arts is that it's mixed. There's guys who have different techniques, styles, and some guys do not do, you know, hooks. I mean, look, yeah, is it standard for most fighters? Yes. Is this guy a standard fighter? No. He's a wrestling style fighter who doesn't do jiu-jitsu really. You know, I mean, I'm sure he does it now, but what I mean is his base is wrestling, and you always revert back to what you're best at and the style that you're most comfortable with. Yeah. And obviously these dudes got real tired after that first round. So that's just, you know, that's just how it is, bud.
All right. There's another a guy to watch. This guy Kyle Crutchmer. Kyle Crutchmer.
Crutchmer.
Yeah, this dude was Oklahoma State, I think, state champion.
Yeah.
Wrestled for OSU. Stud.
Yeah.
He fights this guy, Scott Futrell. Futrell. You guys see the submission.
I think it's Futrell.
Futrell?
Yeah. Gotta be.
Probably.
Sorry.
But you gotta see the submission because, once again, this is on the undercard of Bellator.
Yeah.
No
so
one
on at like 6 a.m.
No one sees this.
Yeah, I didn't see it for sure.
Unless you have the Bellator app.
Really?
Yeah.
I have the Bellator app. I didn't get an alert.
No, and it's one of those things where like this guy is 6-0. I think he was an All-American many times. Why is he getting buried on the undercard? Like, he's a guy to watch, but I want you to show because like,
what's
and I want
again?
Crutchmer. Kyle, Crutchmer. I get it. Maybe they're trying to build guys' records. So when he comes out, he's 12-0 and this and that. But if you know a guy's a 2-3-time All-American, why not put him up there?
I just think, well, the strategy for Bellator seems to be like, I mean, they have a lot of fights too. So they got to put these fights somewhere, right? So I think you're right. I think you nailed it. They want this guy to build up his record. And then and moreover.
The fight's in Oklahoma.
Yeah, but yeah.
It's in Oklahoma. The guy went to OSU.
Yeah.
He's a stud.
Yeah.
They might not have the fight if it's like an early, early prelim.
No, they'll have it. Look at it. Okay, so this right here.
Oh, never mind.
All right, so tell me, Mayhem, break this down.
All right. This is a front headlock right here.
Yeah.
I'm sure you know this maneuver. Oh, okay. So he like, come on, bud. This is a Nogueira choke. This is like the classic Nogueira front headlock choke. There's a lot of different
names. Is it like a standing darce?
It wasn't a darce because he had his, it's called an anaconda. A lot of people call it an anaconda choke. So he transitions to the front headlock here. All right, now see how his arms are? That's the opposite of a darce. A darce, you have your wrist on the guy's neck. This one, he had his, it is a darce. Ah, I was wrong. My bad. I thought it was an anaconda choke because from the other angle, I couldn't see. My bad. Yeah, it was a standing darce. Yeah. Yeah, it was badass. Well, it's weird how he got it, though, because, you know, usually with a darce, you got to be a little more on the side like that, but he was, like, locked in, bro. Like, that dude is a stud.
Yeah.
Those are pretty nice.
There's a kid, I'm telling you, people, I could call him. Obviously, you know, people that know wrestling are going to be like, yeah, duh, of course. But to the average person, keep an eye on Kyle Crutchmer because this kid's a stud. Chris Lencioni, who came to my show. This fight, he got the win. A lot of people thought he lost. It was according to the people that he hit me up. He goes, I'm disappointed in you. Why? I go, why? He's like, you didn't roast me. And I was like, I don't roast the post limbs. Because he was on the post, not even the prelims or the main, the post limbs. I go, when you get to the prelims, call me. And then I was fucking with him, you know? Nice. But,
should have zinged him with that on the Twitters.
So he, no one would know what I was talking about.
Exactly.
The post-limbs. All right. So, but this kid I like, he happens to be a really good, he rolled his ankle in the first, broke his ankle, still won the fight. In the third round, he's fighting this guy, Salim. So Chris, Lencioni, against Salim. He does a backpack where he jumps on the guy's back, and the guy's yelling at him and booing. The guy's booing him on his back.
Classic.
Yeah. Which I want to say, what would you do?
Choke the shit out of that guy.
If you were both guys. I want to say, what mayhem? Do we have it? Lencioni.
I would definitely give a thumbs up to the crowd if I was on his back. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, the guy's booing?
I would thumbs up. So let's see who's going to get the boo, who's going to get the yay. You know what I mean? It's just a next level strategy.
But wouldn't you let go?
Get the crowd on your
side.
Wouldn't
you let go of the choke if you're giving a thumbs up?
No. You could. Come on, bud.
How do you do that?
Like, I don't know.
You're trying to choke the
Magic?
Guy?
Magic?
You're trying to choke the guy? So how do you... Like, for real, how do you
do that? Listen, bro, I've done weirder shit in my career.
Yeah, you had GSP punching you, and you were laughing at him.
Yeah,
you know what's obviously. Funny is that a lot of people that watched that fight who were going to fight you were scared. Like, I remember when you were fighting Luke Barnett, which you kept saying you're fighting Jake Barnett. You kept saying Josh Barnett.
Yeah.
You kept making videos saying you're fighting Josh Barnett. But Luke Barnett was like, hey, how's Mayhem look? He was asking me.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know if he's taking this too seriously or something. I kind of ratted you out a little bit.
Yeah.
But he said, he goes, this dude, he goes, he's one hell of a fighter.
Yeah.
He goes, he was laughing.
Yeah.
And then
it's a strange thing to be able to absorb shots, like, you know what I mean? And just ignore them, you know? And it's like a weird magic trick.
Okay, so
we go
to round three against, and then same thing with Bisbing.
Yeah.
Bisbing was like,
take the shots.
He was actually like, he was nervous about fighting you because of the fact, I think you scared more people by laughing about the fact you were getting beat up.
Iron face.
Yeah.
All right, let's see this right here.
All right, so.
When in the third round? Does
it happen? It happens when there's like 1 minute left in the third round, or a minute and a half left.
Okay. Yeah.
So here, right? So
wow.
He's on his back.
Crazy.
So,
look, the body lock that he has right here.
So he's mad, right? So he's trying to get the ref to break it up.
To break it up? Yeah. Why? And yeah, I don't see why you'd do that. Really, in this situation, you know, I don't understand why this guy wouldn't just splash. You know what I mean? Like splash the guy down on his back. It's a valid technique. You
could
know?
That make it tighter though?
No, I mean it could. But here's the thing: is that as you splash him down, you twist out of that. This is a wild ass fight, man. This is really weird.
So he's yelling pussy and boo.
Kind of turned on right now.
Checks out.
So he's yelling pussy and boo. The guy's from Russia, so he's really thinking this guy's a pussy, you know. But I mean, is this a valid that what would do you think?
I'm just so glad the Russians are learning English. You know what I mean. You know, they got like they got a good vocabulary these days.
What do you think about Chris's strategy here? What should Chris be doing?
Really, like, I don't understand why he has his arm over here and this little, this is hilarious. What the fuck kind of freak show are you watching? I kind of feel like I'm watching one of Ween's dreams out loud.
Exactly
right here.
My dreams look
bizarre.
I love the fact that I watched this.
And who's winning right now?
I don't know.
Like, how do you judge this?
The fans. Yeah.
Yeah. Who do you think is winning?
I don't know. Right, we are. For sure. That's a bizarre.
Now, how much of those? Now he broke his ankle. So now, how much of those do those elbows hurt? By the way, when you're
like, it's like, you know, when you like hang your head out a car window,
Yeah.
And no. A bug hits you?
No.
Yeah, that's about how much. Yeah.
What are you, Ace Ventura? Like, yeah. why are you driving like with a.
Wow, from the consulate. Oh,
Jesus. All right. So you shout out
the,
to.
The grappling matches that happened over there?
Yeah, so they had 2-on-2 jiu-jitsu.
Okay, what the fuck was that about? It's like I didn't
team.
See this.
Tag team. Can we look up Submission Underground, Chael Sonnen? Vinny, you might need Fight Pass for this.
They got those videos on lockdown. They're hard to find.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like, I have it on my Fight Pass. If you use my code, that might be a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
All right.
They had like a sumo.
Why don't you just give out your Fight Pass code on the air and everybody just use yours?
Thank you. I appreciate that. Let's talk about some of the fights this week.
What's up, man? What's going on this weekend? That's the big question.
Benavidez is fighting Division Figueroa.
Figueroa?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, maybe a Submission Underground highlights. Okay. Nice. All right, so go down. Yeah, so do they actually show any of the highlights?
No.
Aya Quinto lost to Mike Perry.
Yeah.
Surprisingly.
But the thing with this, though, is that every fight went into overtime.
Yeah.
And then they start in submissions. Like a guy comes in with a rear naked choke or got arm bar. I don't know about that. I think they got to do a better way because it just seems like every.
I know that's like the cop out way that they're doing grappling now, huh? Is they get this guy in an armbar and then go. Like that's a bizarre.
And then the fastest escape wins, kind of a thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like they got to do a better job than that because
it definitely is like.
I mean, when every fight goes into overtime, there's a problem.
Yeah.
You know,
I got some ideas for that. I'm trying to develop something, so just stay tuned.
Thank you.
MayhemMartialArts.com.
So, Benavidez versus Division. This guy's 16-1. Hit a big win over Tim Elliott. Benavidez is on, like, I think he's won a lot of fights. He's on a streak, right?
I think he lost. He lost recently to Sergio Pettis, I think.
Didn't he beat Pettis?
I'm not sure. You have to pull up his official record. But I think Figueredo is going to win this fight.
Really?
I think people are going to be upset.
Really?
Yeah. And then I think the division is going to get scrapped.
No. They're not scrapping the division. No way.
I'm just.
What do you mean scrapped?
At one point, they were going to scrap the 125-pound division.
Really?
Yeah.
Or just like roll it over into the women's division?
They just said that people weren't getting excited about it. But then when they dropped like half the fighters or something for no reason.
Really?
But then Cejudo won. And then one at 135 too. So
all it took was a Mexican guy to do the jobs that Americans don't want.
Basically, yeah.
I get it. Yeah.
So he's on the card, and then also Felicia Spencer. She's the one that fought Cyborg, right? Looks like a soccer mom, but she took a pounding.
Mm-hmm. She also beat Megan Anderson.
She beat Megan Anderson quickly.
Yeah, rear naked choke, I think.
She's fighting Zara Ferran. I don't know who that is. And there's a guy named Violent Bob Ross. Have you heard of this guy?
Yeah.
He looks like Bob Ross.
He does.
But, he's fighting Steve Garcia, who fought. He's taking his fight on 1 week notice. He won on Dana White's looking for a fight, but missed weight. Which is like, I mean, you're fighting for a UFC contract.
Wait, what's the guy's name again?
Steve Garcia.
Oh, yeah.
And
then
you miss weight. come on. Now, have you ever fought on 1 week notice?
Yeah.
Against who?
You always put me on the spot, but I definitely know that I've fought on a week's notice. Like to the point where the hardest thing ever, like, because I was already training, but the hardest thing ever is to like get all your medicals done week. Because think about it, you know, you got weeks to do your medicals. You know, like you got to get a head scan and eye scan and or eye exam and general. What the hell you call it?
Physical.
Yeah. So this whole blood test. So that's the hardest thing about fighting on a week's notice.
Damn.
And you got to get licensed.
I remember we had the physicals on the football. I played middle school. They had some weird, creepy guy in the locker room.
Checking your sack?
Yeah. Everybody had them lined up to get their balls fucking molested.
Oh, yeah.
Like, do they still do that or no?
I think you have to just do it at your regular doctor now.
No, I mean, he's been doing it at the high schools all the time.
Yeah, I'm that guy now. They just don't know that I work there.
You don't work there.
Yeah.
All right. So the week after that, Izzy versus Yoel.
Yeah, bro. That's what I want to talk about.
You see the dance off they had?
Man, these guys are awesome.
Izzy versus Romero dance off. First of all, we don't even know how old Romero is.
Like, I know. He's got like one of them forged Cuban birth certificates that said he was like 17 when he was.
He could be 19 years old for all we know. Yeah.
That's it could be 90. So crazy. This is what I'm trying to think.
Yeah, either way.
Yeah,
why do Cubans always not. How come we don't know how old they are?
Socialism. Like,
really? That's the problem?
Yeah.
Socialism?
Yeah, because you can just pay somebody to forge a birth certificate, undoubtedly.
So, I don't know. I think Stylebender wins this.
Yeah. I mean, you're not really going out of your way.
Yeah.
Like, you're not saying anything off the chain. But I think that Yoel Romero has a way better shot than everyone's giving him.
Really?
I think he has that one punch ability.
And his wrestling. He beat Kale Sanderson twice.
But,
so they're having a dance off.
Yeah.
Romero won a dance off.
Romero definitely won the dance off, but probably blew his ACL doing that split. Yeah. I mean, I just wish Dana would get in this. You know what I'm saying? Let's see a little. He probably would do the Charleston or something like that.
I know I was on the black dance team in college.
Nice.
I was on the black dance repertoire.
Put your money on.
You are the blackest dude I know. You're the blackest Jew I know.
How many black Jews do you know?
You.
Me and Sammy Davis Jr. Now, Zhang Wello. I fucked it up. I know. He's fighting Joanna Janjuncek. I know Zhang.
I mean, that one. Oh.
Zhang got offended because Joanna took a picture wearing
coronavirus.
A mask.
Yeah. I told you, racism is alive and well in America and throughout the world. It's finally the Asians are getting their racism. You know what I mean? It's been white dudes like for the last like 6 months. Everybody's racist against us because you know we're evil.
Yeah.
But 6 months.
Or maybe a couple years, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Ever since Trump took over, everybody's mad at us. Like, it's my damn fault about racism. And now it's finally nice to see Asian people catching a little flack.
I feel like they always get.
Do they?
Oh, my God.
Well, you're a stand-up comedian, and you use the same six hacky jokes about them driving in with their with their small penises. Yeah, we get it, Adam. Yeah, we get it, Adam.
The six hacky ones.
Yeah, bro. I mean, there ain't that many other ones. Hey, but at the same time, you know, I love Asian people.
Of course. So, look, by the way, Joanna has got implants. And
it's a big factor in this fight.
She looks so much better. I mean, she looks good
before. They should give her a 2 pound weight allowance, right?
Can we look at Joanna before and after? Like
before and after? Are you really doing before? We're trying not to objectify the women on the show.
Look, if you get implants,
you're asking for it.
You're not asking to be objectified.
You guys are dirtbags. That's what I'm saying. Hey, she's asking for it. She was wearing a short skirt.
I mean, people are going to notice a difference. I mean, she's posted the pictures.
Yeah.
Am I supposed to not look at the
pictures? No, I mean, I think it probably helps her bottom line, makes her more marketable, right?
I don't know. I feel like she's doing very well either way.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that like.
But she just like felt like she needed to have
I think Rose Namajunas like fucked up her marketability when she like, because she was like murdering everybody. And then Rose knocked her out the first time in the first round, and then in the rematch beat her, and all of a sudden she looked human for the first time.
Let's see them titties.
Joanna, you're not into tits, Ween.
I'm not really.
I mean, let's see her dick. That's probably what you're really asking, right?
If she had one, I'd love to see it. I think it's a lot.
Nice.
Really?
If she had one.
You know what? You know what? I'm with you on that one.
No, I'd love to see every like famous person's dick.
Why?
It's, I don't know.
No wonder he always goes to the bathroom with me. Son of a bitch.
This is what you're into? Famous people's dicks?
I mean, I'm all about the fappening
stuff.
Bro, this show
is always off the rails.
Yeah.
I'm not doing it for, like, sexual pleasure. I'm doing it out of curiosity. Like, I want to see what, you know, like, what Tom Cruise's dick looks like, Brad Pitt's dick. I want to see all these guys' dicks.
Can we just cut, like, the highlights of Ween being gay on this show and just make that to a mega mix?
How many dicks have you seen in real life?
Fuck. Not a lot. Oh, you know what? When I went to LA Fitness, I saw dicks every single day in the locker room.
In your mouth?
Not in my mouth. There's old man balls, dicks. They don't.
But why were you looking?
Dude.
Yeah, sometimes those
you're
guys
gonna
are,
see.
Sometimes those
you
guys
have
are,
to look.
Yeah. Anyway, put hot Joanna pics.
What is Joanna titty?
No.
So that's what the show is devolving to. Instead of like high level analysis. and funny jokes. We're just ogling girly pictures.
I'm not ogling. Okay, forget it. She looks terrible. She's the worst looking human being I've seen in my life. I don't want to see it.
What's your point about all this? You think she's a better fighter?
No, not at all. I just think that some people look better with implants, and other people, like, you didn't need them. Like, you were doing fine the way you were.
Yeah, yeah. All right.
But she just seems to it matches her body. Like, you ever see a girl with like a big ass and like. I don't know what I'm saying. All right, so Sean O'Malley is fighting Jose Quinones. O'Malley's a guy that, like, he looked... I used to call him Screech McGregor. He looked like he had this...
I love this guy.
He looked like Screech. Yeah. I mean, and then it has the McGregor tattoo, but it's undefeated. I mean, he knocks people out. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I watched
him train. What weight is he again? 35?
35.
Yeah, okay. He's a beast, this
guy. But he's also one of these guys that always looks like he's in trouble during the... Okay.
She's pretty hot right there.
Yeah, right. Like, is that her?
Yeah.
That can't be her.
Listen here. That's really expert level photography, too. Or, you know what I'm saying?
Photoshop.
Yeah, she looks great there. Yeah, that's what I'm...
Look at them titties.
All right. Nah.
Stop saying
Listen, if you
titties.
Want to make money on this card, do a parlay of Weili Zhang and Yoel Romero.
Why?
Put $20 down. Because I'm a mystic.
But first,
I win money every week.
Bro, you're
on
like 0% in your fight picks, Ween.
No,
I mean, I love you,
winning
bud.
Money. I do $1 parlays. First of all, I've been doing pretty good recently.
Really?
$1 parlay?
Yeah, I won $30 this past weekend on the UFC card.
Wow.
Yeah. I put $75 in, but I won
$30. Yeah, like, exactly. God bless
you. All right, so. All right, O'Malley, but he kept getting popped for steroids. This guy, but he was one of those dudes. You're like, there's no way
like
he's
steroids.
On steroids.
Yeah, yeah.
He must have
switching his piss with Romero's.
I don't know. I think he might be taking some kind of weird smoothie or something, or over the counter.
What kind of smoothie gets you hot for steroids?
I don't know, but I
don't know what smoothie shop you're going
to. He says he doesn't know. I don't think he's on steroids. This kid.
You don't think so?
I don't think I'm purposely.
You think it's a false positive?
No, I think he took something by accident.
Oh, really? All right.
I don't know. I just didn't. Look, all right.
Let's perform.
Let's get a picture of this guy, Sean O'Malley.
Listen, you can't tell by how the dude looks. Come on, man, we know that.
But let's see Sean O'Malley highlights, because this dude, have you ever seen any of his fights?
Yeah, of course.
I think you were in during his fights.
Oh no, but I've seen like posts on the internet about him. Like, I've seen a lot of Reddit
O'Malley highlights, because he's one of these also that does everything wrong.
Yeah,
and
this guy.
Somehow it
I know
ends
this
up,
guy, yeah.
But the guy also came to my comedy show. You know, you don't realize how young these guys are until you see their friends.
Yeah.
Because they look like a bunch of high school kids.
Yeah.
Like, why is he get to smoke weed and other guys get in trouble for it?
I mean, I don't know. If you have sweet-ass tattoos like that,
look,
bro.
Look, okay, so here's some of his highlights. He does, like, some crazy stuff. Watch.
First of all. Points for the bad boy nice. Valetudo shorts. I mean, this is like bringing back Jason Miller 1999.
Oh!
Yeah, I totally know this guy's spin kicky ass. Yeah, this is like a capoeira kick. Fantastic technique. Like, this is the type of stuff that they want to see. Well, what's his record right now?
I think he's 9-0 or something.
Yeah, yeah. So, I think he's going to have some trouble running to the high-level wrestlers.
Yeah, but I think they're keeping him away from wrestlers for a
while. Yeah, exactly. You want to see some highlight reel, you know, jumping knees, spin kicks, this type of stuff. So,
it doesn't look like a guy that's going to... He doesn't look like a UFC fighter when you first see him.
I mean, they don't have your power, but at the same time.
You know how much shit that I've gotten for that comment?
Bro, it's ridiculous.
Oh, my God. I have to not read YouTube comments. I'll start answering them. I'll be like, then don't watch the show.
Yeah,
Then leave. Good. You're not invited. I'm like, uninviting you to my YouTube page. Yeah, and then I'm like, what am I doing?
Look, I like to interact with the fans, but don't spend your time overdoing
it. It's every 10 people that like it, and then the one guy goes, you suck. This is why you're not famous. Brendan Schaub's best comic ever. And then I'm like, fuck you. Don't listen to my show. Get out of my house or something. And then what am I doing? I'm fighting probably like a 14-year-old.
Yeah, undoubtedly.
So O'Malley, boom.
So O'Malley's fighting who, though? Are we going to have a good match? Or
yes.
Kinda,
yeah. Now, power, this kind of power, though. You're born with this kind of power?
For this weight class, look, that's technique, too. I mean, yeah, I'm sure.
He's really accurate.
Yeah, he's like, for sure. I like how he just walk off, do some weird spinny shit.
I think it's our friend, that guy that did our show a bunch of times.
Yeah.
What's his name? The kid from L.A. that, what's the comic Ian used to manage? Ian Harris? You know, that guy. Fuck his name.
Where?
Andre. Yeah, Terry on Ware.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so like it'll be interesting to see. So who's the guy he's fighting? So just so I
Jose Quinones.
All right. Oh, okay.
I don't really know much about him. Can you look up Jose Quinones' record? But right here. So I mean, so you think a wrestler might just hold him down?
No. Well, what I'm saying is his techniques, the way he's using these spinning techniques, like this sort of you know, I don't know. I don't even know where he got these techniques from, what style. They look similar to like some capoeira stuff.
Trains at the lab with John Crouch.
Oh, okay.
In Arizona.
Okay.
But when I watch him spar, this is what he does.
And it looks a little bit like Taekwondo, but I'm not sure, you know. I don't know where he got these techniques. But the problem is that a wrestler, like spinning around like that, you give opportunity for the guy to shoot a takedown. And it looks like so far he's faced a lot of guys who are, you know, fellow stand-up type dudes who want to stand up with them. I think the strategy to beat him would be to get down.
How many losses?
Three losses.
8-3? Okay. All right. Yes, that's O'Malley. Now there's a guy also, Mark Madsen, who I believe is an Olympian from like, can we look up Mark Madsen's Wikipedia real quick? Because this guy, another guy, like they got a bunch of stars on this thing. I want you to come. I can get tickets. I'm pretty sure I can get tickets. If I get tickets, will you come?
Okay.
It'll be fun to go with you. I mean, is it going to be hard when everyone surrounds you and wants pictures and stuff?
No.
Are you going to like that or no?
Yeah.
Really?
I'm not saying it's my birthday weekend, Adam. I'm not saying it's my birthday weekend.
Is it your birthday weekend?
Just take Ween Dog. I don't want to go.
I've been doing this show for seven years.
All right, Mark Madsen. All right, so I can't. He's a wrestler, but okay, he was a Danish mixed martial arts retired Greco-Roman wrestler, competed in the featherweight division, Olympic silver medalist, 4-time medalist. All right, after his wrestling career, so he's undefeated. Can we look up Mark Madsen MMA highlights? Because this is another guy that I'm like, I know.
He's gonna fight at 170 or
yeah.
And who's he fighting?
Let's guy Hubbard.
Chop this up.
Austin Hubbard, I believe. Mark Madsen, MMA highlights. Because another guy that like, it's gonna be hard when you're fighting a guy who's a silver medalist in the Olympics.
Yeah.
Greco-Roman.
Well, I mean, he's, you know, to get to the Olympics, you've got to be a fantastic athlete. But I mean, how does stand up hold up? You know,
let's
that's
look
the
at some highlights right here. Mark Madsen highlights HD. Boom.
Got a suplex as the thumbnail. I love it.
Have you ever got suplex for?
Nah.
Dude, I one time I did an audition. I had a commercial for
you suplexed the director
for like Adidas, right? For wrestling.
And, oh yeah, I was on that. I did that audition too.
And I went there and look at some of these throws. And the guy I went up against an actor who didn't know how to fall, so I was like hurting him basically.
So you basically beat up another actor?
No, this is on the shoot. I booked the shoot, and then. They fired the guy halfway through because he was complaining about like, this is not my contract, this and that. And then they brought in like a Iowa national champion. And I became his dummy.
Nice.
And he threw me for 3 hours.
And then they fired you.
No, it was I took it like a fucking man. I needed the money and shit, but fuck, man.
So if you're keeping score at home, not only does he have power in both hands.
This guy right here. So this guy, Madsen.
He also...
I mean, he's got some power in his punches,
look,
too.
If you're silver medals in Greco-Roman wrestling, you're probably one of the strongest humans on earth.
I mean, is that normal to do that to somebody?
No. I mean, yeah, if you're a damn gorilla.
It sure gets a whole game, though.
I mean, the guy is a damn beast, yeah. You know, he's got that weird physique where you could tell he's super strong, but it's not like, you know, like that...
he's not ripped?
No, he's not like a model. He's, like, got real muscle that he can do crazy shit with like this, you know? So it'll be interesting to see. But I don't know who he's fighting. I don't know this guy, really, to be honest. So you're getting me excited for Madsen. You know, is this his debut over there?
No, his first fight, he just murdered some guy real quickly. Look at these throws.
Okay. Yeah, people don't understand the power of Greco-Roman wrestling. Like, I mean, I guess a lot of people have forgotten because the last... Wow.
Like, when you trained with Hendo, right? Was he doing that in practice, people?
Yeah, but Henderson's style had evolved. Like, he changed... He took some stuff and kept it from Greco, but you know, it was a very flushed out MMA program. I learned a lot of techniques over there at Team Quest because the dudes, like the Greco is the base for everything else. And if you're good at Greco-Roman wrestling, like you can kind of maintain the whole fight because like there's a lot of techniques that you use. You know, freestyle wrestling is different because a lot of it relies on grabbing a guy's shoe. But when you're body locking the guy, you know what I mean? Yeah, when you're body locking the guy, there's no faking that, you know?
Now, when you wrestled with Linlin,
Yeah.
And Randy, too.
Yeah, yeah.
With those guys, I mean, how did you match up with those guys?
Well, I mean, the guys who were like my weight, I did great against. But then I remember going with Randy, and I was cutting to 170. Oh, my fucking God. Like, he just gave me a fucking drubbing that day. It wasn't a good one.
Must have been 230.
Yeah, he was like 230. I was like 180, 170 something.
But he didn't just go technique. Yeah. He went.
No. He was like, because I was coming up. So he just wanted to, you know, and I know where he's coming from. Because now that I'm the old dog, I make sure, you know, to give the up and coming dudes, give them the business. Just
he
to
said
show
Lindland didn't shower. And then,
I fucking had to like call training off and stop training with Lindland because he smelled like a goddamn bear. Like, I don't know what that funk was, but it was otherworldly.
Lindland denies all this.
But. I know Lindland denies this, but I'll tell you for a fucking fact, Matt Lindland, you smelled like ass. You smelled worse than ass. You smelled like a dumpster covered in burnt turd hair. Something
turd
like
turd hair.
Yeah, bro. Wow. It was bad. Yeah.
Wow.
It was a nightmare. I know. I literally was gagging, bro. Like, I was dry heaving, and we sent him to go take a shower.
Lindland actually was doing well.
And then when he came back, sent him back to shower again.
Wow. Two showers. The double shower.
Because he didn't use soap the first time.
Oh, man. Yeah, he was fucking burnt turd hair.
Yeah. Now, he's a legend in the sport.
I thought he got fucked in that Fedor fight. He was winning that fight. And did you train with him before that fight?
Yeah, yeah.
You were his Fedor?
Yeah, no, not at all. Like, no, I know I trained with him before that. Yeah, but why? Why do you think he got fucked?
Oh, because the fight was overseas and they didn't want Fedor to lose. Matt Lindland was not a market.
Oh, you're seeing how things work. Oh, you're saying that the guy who's the favorite of the wins all the time? Oh, interesting.
But according to Chael, a lot of those fights for Fedor were fixed, but I think most of them were not. Mark Coleman was not throwing fights against Fedor. Was he? You ever see, could you look at Mark Coleman?
I wouldn't think that Mark Coleman
would
throw a fight.
Could you look at Mark Coleman, locker room? No, I think the one fight he did throw, he kind of admits it to was it Fujita or somebody? And like, he fought somebody in that promotion.
Did you just call him Fajita?
Fajita.
His fucking name was Fujita.
Fujita, right? Yeah. Yeah. That fight, was it against him? That it was like they promised him a contract or something. But
I like how now you're like taking a trip down memory road right now.
Oh, whatever. Like, what else am I going to talk to you about this? Yeah, I can't talk to my wife about this shit.
Yeah.
This
maybe you can.
Right there. Yeah, right. All right. Look at the first one. Mark Coleman going crazy in the locker room. Yeah. No, not that one. After he loses to Fedor, Mark Coleman. Look at this. Now, is this how your locker room looks?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so after, can we get volume on this?
No.
All right. So.
Yeah, I remember this.
I mean,
first of all, outfit choice is on fleek. Like, oh my God.
Was this after they...
Listen here, man. After they found you... When you lose a fight, you get pretty pissed off.
After you got found guilty in court, was this how you...
I never got found guilty.
Oh, sorry.
I pled guilty.
Oh, sorry. Like my bad. Yeah. Okay, so... No, but you weren't like that. Were you... And look at how calm Fedor is afterwards.
He won the fight.
He won the fight.
Pretty relaxing day now.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Of course. He's sitting down. But I think if he lost, he'd be acting the same way, Fedor. It seems like he just...
Yeah, not he's a robot. No, sent from the future. Yeah, I get it.
All right, can we look at, is there more Mark Coleman? Because it seems a lot more entertaining than on this clip, can we forward to Coleman just throwing things? Okay, and then Baroni's back here.
I know.
Not the guy that you want
to. Yeah, this is the greatest. not the best therapist, I would say.
So yeah. But Coleman's a legend, though, man. I mean, he.
Yeah. Obviously, Mark Coleman is like one of the biggest stars of all time, the biggest MMA fighters. They had to change the game because of him taking everybody down and headbutting the shit out of everybody.
If I could ever design who I want as an uncle.
Uncle? Yeah.
Uncle Coleman would be the guy.
Uncle Coleman.
Imagine having him as your uncle coming to your wrestling matches.
I feel like he's my uncle. Are you kidding me?
And here he's talking to him. He's just being nice. I mean, he's a class act.
Yeah. He just had to, he's pissed off.
How many substances do you think? Do you think when he peed, it just burned? Like it was just flaming?
Yeah. No? You think sure. Yeah. Right. I guess, it depends on, what type of ladies were around.
I just love that he's like, ah. Yeah.
You're ridiculous.
Like, ah. Come on, man.
Yeah.
How many times in my life I wanted to be like, ah.
Bro, you can do it. Like, I support you.
Every day of my life. You're not going to get on TV. Ah!
Oh, shit,
he's throwing man. Shit.
All right. We covered everything, right?
No, there's a couple other fights. Dracar Close is fighting. He's a really, really good fighter, this guy. I think he has like one or two losses, but very, very close. And he's at his girlfriend is the girl that fought Courtney Casey. She fought Felice Herrig, and they gave each other the middle finger during the fights. It was actually kind of hot. Like during the fight, they were just. During the fight, you ever curse, give them the finger during a fight? He's fighting Beneil Dariush.
Oh, really?
A guy who like got his black belt in like 2 years. He went up against one of the
Chrome Gracie. Yeah, he's a really talented dude. He's kind of had like a rough ride recently, right?
Up and down. He won his last one.
Oh, great.
He just got engaged. But he's a guy that like he got submitted by Chiesa.
Yeah.
And in a grappling match that never would have happened, I don't think. But
what do you mean a grappling match that never would have
happened? Like if they just would have had a grappling match, Chiesa versus Dariush. Yeah. It seemed like Dariush would have the advantage.
Yeah, but it's a different, you know, fighting is a whole different world. You know, you add the strikes in, totally changes the dynamics.
You ever trained with Dariush before?
Yeah, for sure. He's great. He's like a really, down at Kings in Huntington Beach. Yeah, I trained with him for a while. He's like a fantastic fighter. Like
you guys spar? Really,
yeah, he's a skill. Like for his size, oh my damn, he's like really strong. Strong kicks, strong punches. You know, but the thing is that I could see why he lost some of those fights because his speed wasn't up to par with those guys, with the guys his size. He's got a lot of power, but he wasn't as fast as like the lighter weight guy.
Yeah.
I mean, he was fast. He was still fast. But not as fast as the elite strikers.
Yeah, knocked out by Hernandez, who then lost to Cowboy. But I think he won his last fight or two. And then Emily Whitmire is fighting on this card. She's a girl. She's dating Johnny Case. You know Johnny Case?
Yeah.
Really, really cool guy.
I just know it from you talking
Super
about it.
Super cool couple. Emily, she was trained by Vinny Magalish.
Yeah.
And then Vinny trained her opponent. I think Rachel Ostovich for a
really?
Fight. And she won. And Emily goes, "Fuck you, Vinny!" Like in her post-fight speech.
Wow.
If we could bring up Emily Whitmire post-fight speech, Vinny, see if it's up. It was like so funny. Like this girl's, she's one of those chicks that holds a grudge. She's super cool and super fun. So she's fighting on the card. And then Darren Wynn, who was on the undercard of Tito Ortiz versus Chuck Liddell 3, he was maybe the one bright spot. Emily Whitmire fight speech, but we have the one in the cage. No, like actually in the octagon. It was pretty funny. So Darren Wynn, he looks like Daniel Cormier. Cormier is really high on him, but he lost his last fight.
I thought he won. He fought Eric Spicely.
He beat Spicely in Golden Boy MMA.
No, they fought in the UFC. They fought in the UFC.
But he lost his last one.
I'm trying to think who he fought.
He lost his last one, and he's fighting Gerald Meerschaert, who another guy who like, just he, like here this one, yeah, this is hilarious. So let's see Emily Whitmire. I feel like you get girls this mad at you.
You're a piece of shit. I'm here with the winner, Emily Whitmire. You got very
You're
excited
a piece
there
of shit.
About Vinny Magalhães. I don't.
Courting against me like 5 times, and then today I showed up, saw him getting off the bus, didn't message me or anything, so he can go fuck himself.
Classic. I mean, that's the kind of girl you want to take home to mama, and then never talk to her again.
I don't know, man. I feel like that's the kind of girl that you have to talk to whether you want to or not.
Forced. Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Like that chick is definitely the kind of girl that's like, you told him you're gonna make me come, fucking sit down here, lie down,
chase you down the street, butt naked.
Yeah, no, she's like, you're making me come whether you want to or not. Like that's a fucking.
I've met too many of those.
I like that girl though.
Yeah,
like,
me too. I
mean, what a cool
big fan.
Yeah, right. Are you a bigger fan now that you saw that?
For sure. Just like go ahead, not even letting it go. Let nothing go. Just fucking, you know what I mean?
She won
Hold
the fight.
A grudge.
She won the fight.
Yeah, but still, she got to say what she feels.
Vinny wasn't even in the octagon. He was the trainer.
He was in the octagon.
But
what do you mean? He was right there.
The other one.
What? Yeah.
You're
exactly.
A piece of shit.
You're a piece of shit.
I like it.
I'm that's my new ringtone.
I like how you still have a ringtone.
Yeah, yeah. It's 98.
That's hilarious. That is so funny. By the way, I did a comedy show with those guys over the weekend with the Party Bros.
Don't know them.
These two guys, those guys that crash town meetings.
Oh, those bros?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
God,
yeah.
I love those guys.
Yeah, they were on a show with them. So shout out to them. They were super cool.
Really?
Chad and, yeah. Going deep. Those guys. That's going the name. Deep. Yeah, so, yeah, I think we covered it all.
I know.
Let's see if there's any news, breaking news that just happened in the last day or two.
So there's no episode next week?
Like, my phone has been, like, buzzing off the damn chain in my pocket, and I just letting it go there, like, weaning in a dream. You know what I'm saying?
Just let it go,
like,
man.
making it happen.
Yeah. Yeah,
like what exactly? What are we gonna do with you, Ween?
Well, if you come to Vegas, we can do a podcast there. Why don't the three of you? I'll get three tickets. I could probably get three tickets if I get. Will you come? What's the matter? Do you not want to go to Vegas? Too many triggers and stuff.
Triggers.
I'm being serious.
No, I'm fine. Yeah.
Are you sure you're okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
So I'm giving you a place to stay.
What are you talking about?
You can probably stay at Russell Peters' house too if you want.
All right.
Well. Hey, can me and Mayhem stay at your guest house?
Yeah, for sure.
But
can we come cuddle with you?
Would you want to go to the fight?
Yeah.
So then what's the matter?
No.
I feel like you're not excited.
I am. I'm totally excited.
By the way,
so pumped right now.
I'm so. All right, fine.
Just wait till they come to Anaheim again, and we'll go that one. It's too hard to go to Vegas these days. It's too hard.
Why?
I don't have a car. I can't drive to Vegas. I can't fly to Vegas.
You don't have a car?
Well, I do. I'm not going to drive my car to Vegas. It's too far.
It's 4 hours.
I got a shitty Honda Civic, dude. My shit's gonna break down. It's gonna break down before I exit LA.
Your whole life is—I don't understand. It's so funny,
dude. This podcast is gonna blow up.
All right, female MMA fighter from Romania, headbutts somebody to get off the show. Can you put Survivor Romania 2020?
Yeah, I seen this.
You see that?
Yeah, I keep up on my Reddit threads.
Oh, all right.
So like this lady, yeah. Basically, if you haven't caught the video, she headbutts this dude. She headbutts her teammate after she loses one of those silly challenges.
And then gets kicked off.
And she's kicked off the show, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and the dude, I mean, he did. Look, check this out, Adam. He did not take this headbutt like a man. He took this headbutt like a, like, not even like a woman. Like, he took this like a child.
Oh, she didn't really. That didn't hurt.
No. Wait for it. Kablam!
Oh.
Classic. Well,
he might have broke his nose.
Yeah, for sure. That was a great technique.
You didn't have to go to the ground.
Let me tell you, bud. I coach my guys, you know, solid headbutt technique. Got to keep that neck firm and just use your body.
Oh, so she had a good headbutt.
It was a good technique, yeah.
But
it was good
technique. You think he broke his nose?
I mean, the problem was that,
he had
you know.
A big nose, though.
Bro, if you're going to get in a alpha female's face like that, you better be ready to get headbutted.
Is it okay to hit her back at that point?
Nah,
can you slap her
never.
After that?
No.
Drop
can't
kick
do
her.
Can't do it. Can't Choker. Even. Can't hold her down.
No.
It's just
punch
not
her in the gut.
No.
So
not a good strategy.
Josh Barnett, they're saying tested positive again. That's according to a thread. I don't know if that's true or not.
Tested positive. I mean, at this point, who's chasing him around with the piss cup? McDonald's?
I don't think
I don't understand.
McDonald's.
Wasn't he? Didn't he on the first time he did steroids was because he didn't like the way he looked, like his body. Like I don't think he was.
Listen,
he's like a pretty straight
he's
up guy.
A real smart dude, and like I'm sure he understands the physiological effects of steroids can have a positive outlook. I mean, a positive outcome on your athletic performance. But at the same time, you know, I don't understand who's testing him now. Who is he fighting for?
He's in Bellator.
I know, Ben. Bellator piss test him when? Like, is he having a fight right now? Like, did he just have a fight? I haven't heard anything about that.
No, he had a fight.
They're pre-screening.
Yeah.
Now. Okay. Well, I mean, that's good, I guess. But at the same time,
positive. Well, come on, Josh.
I don't know.
I just Josh doesn't need that shit. Josh doesn't need fucking.
I mean, he's getting older, you know, and it's like very. It's a lot more difficult to do, you know, mixed martial arts at a high level. You know, and he probably has that in his mind.
He's fighting Hani Marcus.
But he's not been like a stranger to illicit substances before. So, you know, I don't know. It's a strange thing. I get where you're coming from, but at the same time, like, how angry can we be?
I'm not angry. I like Josh Barnett a lot.
Yeah.
You know, and I hate to see him have. It's already hard enough to have a fight coming up, prepare. And then he got kicked out of the UFC, but then he sued, and I don't know. It was a big mess, I know.
Yeah.
And I just hate to see Josh have to do all this other shit versus just getting in there and fighting.
Yeah,
it just seems like a lot of things that I don't know. I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
What's the deal with the Gucci belt, though? Enough about Josh Barnett. You got Gucci belt at the top of the list. I didn't hear anything about a Gucci belt this podcast. You
know, oh, no, that's somebody else. That's a different. That's my. No.
Okay, I'm gonna edit that part out too. I guess. Great.
That was
way to derail the podcast.
We're not editing anything out, bro.
So what do we got coming up?
Go follow me on social media at the Ween Dog, W E E N D A W G. That's also on TikTok, and I'm also gonna open up like a self help, like relationship helpline email. Because fans are there emailing me for like their for love life advice. You know, they got some kinky stuff they want to talk about. You know, you're going to email me. I'm gonna
is
open
this
up
open
this.
Already?
It's not open yet. I'm open out, probably today. I see like an official like email for these people. Like, I can't be like in my main email. Like,
people love your rapping, by the way.
You know, it's only I'm working on the album. I've been working on the same song for like 3 years.
What's the song called?
I don't want to give away too much stuff. I don't have it patented yet.
Last time you said you got a small dick. And it tastes like shit, right? That was the name of the that was the lyric.
That's
the chorus, right?
I got a small dick, it smells like shit, and I like to fuck in suck midget dicks. I don't know. When I run for president someday, they're gonna pull this up, and then I'm just gonna have to fucking deal with. I don't know what I'm gonna do.
You like to suck midget dicks?
I like to take the things that occurred like during the day and like put them in my raps. Like when the podcast first started, we talked about the midget kid, and that's just it came up to my head or in my head. I don't
know. At what point did sucking midget dick come up during your day?
I just,
and by the way, that
dicks.
Midget is 9 years old, so you're getting a little bit.
Brad Williams. Talking about Brad Williams.
Okay, well, Mayhem, what do you got coming up?
Yeah, mayhemmartialart.com is like popping off, and I'm like starting to really like. Flush that website out. So, right. You know.
So, if I'm a guy and I want to hire Mayhem to come to my.
Log on
dojo,
to the website, bud.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hire you. Because I know people in. So, some guy that wants you to come to San Antonio. He keeps
hitting really?
Me up. Yeah, yeah.
Kick ass. Yeah. I think I'm talking to him. It's not. Yeah, it's outside of San Antonio. Yeah.
That's
so
great.
I'm talking to guys about. Yeah. And I got my students here in California. So, you know, things are. Trucking along, you know.
I love it. Well, listen, keep telling everyone about the podcast. I know last week we got 30,000 on YouTube.
Nice.
On top of the whatever many on, you know, everything else. Also, I will be in Waterford, Michigan this week doing comedy at One Night Stands. Next week, Monday to Sunday at the Stratosphere, or the Strat, is called.
Monday to Sunday. Damn,
week,
bud.
Yeah, that's why.
So next week, all week, you're going to be in?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If you guys come, we can do the podcast there.
Where are we going to record the thing?
I have my stuff. It won't be on, we could actually put a camera, or
some webcams.
It won't be as good as this.
No, me and Jason will come here, and we'll Skype you on the.
If you guys want to do that, we can totally do that.
Really?
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, we could do that. 100% do that. I'm down for that. That'd be fun.
Okay.
And then also I will be at the
right there.
The Looney. I'll be at the March 10th. Oh yeah, at the Clubhouse in Placentia. I'm at the Looney Bin in Wichita, Kansas, March 12th to the 14th. Comedy Cast Chattanooga, March 19th to the 22nd. And then I will be on a Carnival cruise ship, but I don't think I'm going to do that right now.
Really?
Like, seems like they really want me. I guess every comic must turn them down because they're like, hey, want to do this week, next week, this week? I'm like, okay.
Fucking Wu-Tang coronavirus.
And then I'm at the Black Box Theater in Boca Raton. And then, that's coming up. And then May, I'm at the Blue Room in Missouri. And you know what? This podcast keeps growing in popularity. We're taking this on the road. I'm not kidding. Not kidding. I know that Callan and Shalv did that with the fighter and the kid. We're taking this on the road. Fuck yeah.
Let's do it. I'm down.
But you guys got to keep telling everyone to listen to the podcast. Go on Reddit. Put it on Twitter. Put it on the Underground. Put it on Sherdog. Because when I do it, I look like fucking desperate. So you guys should do that, okay? Thank you.
You guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Trap songs and trap dunts. Hello. Tune in songs to hook them dorpo lang. Tada stolt and dorpo la moro. Yeah.